This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, motherfuckers? I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm the MTV Affair.
And for some reason, you're listening to Heavy Meta.
Why the fuck would they do that?
I have no idea, tonight... Tonight,
it's because it's like a train wreck. Like you don't want to watch, but you like have to. Like,
yeah,
it's just like these drunk idiots are gonna do something stupid and get themselves in trouble.
They're probably waiting for you to light yourself on fire again.
Yeah. Well, it loses. I'd have done that plenty of times on the cast by now, but like it just kind of loses its fun when you can't see it happen.
We could just hear you screaming. That'd be awesome. you hear the match.
It's burning.
What, you're peeing again and it burns? No.
Yeah.
Personal problems, Kevy. Personal problems.
All right, so people,
you guys know, I just tweeted a picture of my fucking burnt-ass arm from the other day, or from the other night, when I decided to light my arm on fire while wearing my Heavy Meta shirt. I do this for you guys. I want you to know. Like, I do this because I fucking love you. It's like, I beat myself and catch myself on fire because I love you guys.
All right, well, tonight, folks, if we are a train wreck, it is led by a gigantic metal penis, and that penis belongs to the one and only Robot Large. Say hello.
Hey, so, yeah, speaking of injuries and STDs, it's Robot Large.
Wait, are you the cause of them, or do you give them?
Well,
both.
A little both, I think, yeah.
Do you carry a tetanus shot after you bang a girl, you're like, here, man, we'll just give you this just in case? You never know where it's been.
You haven't had crabs till you got the ones from me.
Yeah, I live near the ocean, sweetheart. There may be some rust at the end of this thing. I can't see the end, so you're going to have to tell me.
It's a little salty. All right, people. Well, it's been a tremendously boring week in Magic, so this is why
it's
you
like
listen.
It's been a week since we've talked to these guys, too.
Yeah, it has. And, I mean, this is – I think this is why people listen to Heavy Meta, because when it's completely boring and there's nothing to talk about, you know – that we're your source for comedy.
Find something to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
We have comedic stories and shit. So, I mean, we could talk real quickly about, I guess what's going on in Magic, because people do follow this cast for Magic. Quickly, to know any financial stuff, M14 is, like, still falling. If you're looking to get in on MTGO, I think you're pretty safe. I don't think much stuff's going to fall too much further. Ooze, Mutavault, and Archangel.
Yeah, those two a couple days ago had hit what I believe will probably be their bottom.
Yeah.
They're not too far off right now, because Mutavault did drop down to about $5.60. It's at 6 right now.
Yeah.
Scavenging Ooze was down to $7.50. It's at $7.86 right now, so...
Yeah, and soon is
Friday, they might be like $6.50 and 8.25 or something.
Yeah, in all honesty, that's it. Like, that's M14. Like, those two cards you're going to want four of, because they're going to be played in multiple decks. Everything else, I think you could wait. You can watch.
Isn't that what happened last year? It's like, okay, now that the dust is cleared, Ragtusk and Thundermaw.
Yeah, well, actually, funny, those cards were super low in the, like, $5 to $10 range, and then they skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true.
That is true. I believe I remember first week Thragtusk was $4, four tickets, 80 cents. And I didn't buy any because I thought it was too expensive, and I was an idiot because they went to like $22 or 22 tickets. So maybe it is the right time. I don't really know. I mean, I would guess that, after playing, a lot of standard builds, Mutavault is amazing. Like, Mutavault is fucking, it's a man land. Like, it is without a doubt going to see play. It just will. So.
Well, yeah, Manlancers always see play in every format, so, you know, it's a matter of when they're there, they're going to get played.
And I would play them in Modern, too, so.
Exactly.
But it's not Mount Snapcaster, so fuck it.
It is not. Ooze, though, funny enough, I bought Tarmogoyf when Modern Masters dropped to the lowest point, so it was kind of expensive to get in, but it was. I played with them for a while now, and this is like buyer's remorse because having played with Ooze, I much prefer Ooze. For its power, its life gain, its graveyard ability. I don't know, maybe I'm gonna be, you know, hated out, but I think it's a way more powerful card than fucking Tarmogoyf.
You're probably right, but Maddie, here's your buyer's remorse that isn't so remorseful now. You bought your Tarmos at what, about 50, 56?
No, I got them at 40 something.
Oh, so even
I waited
better.
Right at the lowest, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're at 70 now.
What?
Oh, shut up.
What? They are? Holy balls. Wow, that went up fast. Okay, that's crazy. But anyways, if you're into, you know, if you just got in recently, like, you know, a couple of us did, I'm just telling you now, like, Scavenging Ooze, it might drop to 5 tickets, it might drop a less, but I wouldn't be, I mean, I'm perfectly happy paying that money, because there, if you're playing any green deck, and you're splashing, that card is going in my modern green-white list. Like, it's just, it's okay, automatically yeah. in, so.
To give you an idea, if anything under 9 is amazing for a long-term investment, because here's the thing, even if you only intend to play it within modern later on, and not necessarily right now, but even right now, Scavenging Ooze is an amazing card, it's still going to become a $15 to $20 card again.
Yeah.
Maybe you know, the high or the low on the ceiling will be 15. And then Mutavol, well, we've all seen what that thing does. It'll hit 20 eventually.
Yeah, and I mean, here's what I did. So this is my first big experiment. If you remember when we started the cast, I was like, all right, I'm taking Innistrad block and I'm, you know, specking certain cards and then I'm going to sell at rotation. So
oh, that's right. You were talking about that. How'd that go?
Okay, so I dumped. Folks, I'm out. I have no Innistrad cards except for my Lilianas and Snapcasters. Everything else is gone. Everything. I sold it all.
Wait a minute. You didn't keep the commons and uncommons?
No. Well, the jank ones, yeah.
I was like, where the hell did you take and pawn those off at?
Well, it's funny. What is it? Cardbot. Cardbot bought everything. Like, literally everything I put for trade, it just ate it. Like, it took me about 20 minutes to sell it off.
Just so everybody knows, and the reason I don't suggest doing that, because what Maddie probably didn't pay attention to is a lot of the comments you're going to be getting, like,
1/20th
of a penny.
Yeah, I did. So this is what I've learned. Like, this is why you listen to the show. So I sold everything, and then I looked at what I had paid originally for them and what I sold them for. And obviously, you know, there is a point at which you pay to play, right? Like, you want to pay now, you start to buy now. So, you know, you could have bought Scars of Mirrodin as soon as it rotated for nothing, but then you would have had no time playing with it in standard. So I get that there's a certain economy there, but Ferret is absolutely right. What I should have done, and what I did first is I started with all the mythics from M13 and Innistrad block, and I sold those all first, except for the ones that I wanted to keep, which I think are good, because I don't think Liliana's going to drop too much, and if she is, I'm buying more, because that card is fucking...
Yeah, we both had said that selling her wasn't going to be profitable. She wasn't going to drop enough for you to actually be able to pick up again and make a profit on it.
Exactly. And Snapcasters are just going to be, like you said, it's going to be one of those cards that's going to be, as soon as it's gone, it's just going to dry up, and it's going to be a $20 card. So I didn't want to sell those either. So those are the ones I held on to. Funny enough, the Innistrad lands, they were only offering like 30 cents.
Yeah. Like, you know, the other thing is, you probably should have held on to your Geist too.
Well, I only had one, so I sold it because I want to buy a place. Right. I want to buy a playset, but I'm not like Kevy. I didn't go hard on the playset.
You didn't buy the playset when it was like one of the hottest cards in standard, and fucking everybody was charging way too much money for it.
45 tickets. No, I did. I didn't.
That's all right. That paid for my room in Vegas when I turned around and sold them. So fuck it. All it was like banking money. Like, I was just all, I'm gonna buy these. I'm gonna play with them. Turn around. I'm gonna sell them, give the tickets to Marcel, and now my room in Vegas is taken care of.
I mean, you know what? You made better EV than what I did. So what my plan is I'm trying to, like I said, we're trying to get to a point where we reduce the cost of playing. And so now I've rolled over, I got my tickets, and hopefully it's enough tickets to buy whatever I want in Theros. And this is what I'll see, right? And then I'll watch as I invest into Theros, and hopefully I'll get smarter as the blocks rotate, and when Return to Ravnica rotates, hopefully I'll do that trade better. And then I'll learn, like, you know, when you're buying your commons and uncommons, my guess is, if you're playing draft anyways, you should just don't buy commons and uncommons, just play draft and accumulate them that way.
You
and
drop
then,
them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The other way that you can do, is that there will be enough people that, like, during the first weeks of drafts that you can end up just putting up, like, buying 100 or how many ever commons for X amount, for like a ticket. Yeah. That's what I usually do. Until I actually have this perk with work where I get the commons and uncommons now, but,
sweet.
For a reasonable price. So I don't have to worry about trying to do that. Well,
I still, like, Marcel, he does it a lot better than I do. Like, he has time to, you know, put the ads up. I have no fucking time for the ads, so I would do that if he did.
Matt, and for anybody else, anytime that, like, if you're just sitting around during the weekend, or since I knew you work from home, Matt, what you could do is, and I'm not even trying to plug this because I work for him or anything. MTGO Academy has this program called Notifier.
Yeah. You were telling me about this. This is cool shit.
Well, what it is, you just take and you start it up. You start up your MTGO account. You could put up whatever ad you want. And then, you just minimize your magic, your MTGO. When someone contacts you in regards to that ad, or they just contact you in game for whatever various reason, it will give you a visual and audio cue letting you know that someone's contacting you.
That's
like,
cool.
Mine happens to be the Final Fantasy fanfare, but, you know, you can have it be whatever you want. Like, I can see Kevy's Born to be Wild.
No, his would be something from Motley Crue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's the absolute way to do it.
And so, and then what it is you're no longer taking and spending 6, 12, how many ever hours. You're just sitting there, it's being on there doing the work for you while you're doing whatever the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's just, I mean, I'm probably not doing it as smart as it could be in a
while.
Well,
you're watching porn on the other tab of your browser. You're like mid stroke and it's just all purr, 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 and you're just like, fuck, do I click over or not?
I can't get this right now. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so we'll see what happens as I transfer over and, you know, if there's profitability there or, I mean, the goal is not profitability. Literally, it's just if I could get to a point where I am rolling over into my sets and I'm like reducing my cost by 50%, I'm happy as shit. Like, that's all I really want to do. Like, is just keep playing standard because that's kind of like what I like to do and I like to draft. So, and I like to play modern too. No, modern's great. Like, hopefully, I'm hoping. I mean, I heard the rumors about leagues in Theros and from, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I should say anything, but I kind of gotten shit last time. Worth game shit. But on the closed beta, I mean, there is things that are going on. Like, it's really neat. So, if that happens, then, you know, if we had the ability, I don't know if they'll ever give us the ability, but, like, in stores or even, like, us, we had the ability, like, hey, we're going to run a heavy meta modern event. I mean, that would be fucking insane, you know, and like,
we can't, like, I'm sure we can't just like fucking,
yeah, we can fake
that
it.
Would
yeah.
be amazing if they ever allow it's not exactly sanctioned, but it's been requested for a long time from like the
big
PDC budget. Community
yeah.
to be able to just take and set up, you know, an event at a specific time.
Oh, it'd be so mean.
And have people join.
Well, people do this shit all the time. It's already going on, but they have to jury rig it with friggin' bubblegum and duct tape
with the
to get it to happen.
Like, to do it themselves, yeah. But if
well,
you could have to work
the
inside
is,
the client.
Why isn't WotC just supporting it? It's a feature that everybody wants. It goes on every day on their servers, whether they like it or not.
So
just
what
make
I,
it happen. Make it
yeah,
easy.
I think they look at it like they lose EV, but they don't. Like, what I don't understand. You can't look at it like, oh, they're not buying packs from our system to enter. They're going to use their own packs. Yeah, but use your own packs anyways. And if the two tickets to enter your event is really like, oh my God, that's going to make or break all your profit, then I'm sure a store like MTGO Academy would say, okay, fine, we want to run an event and entry fees two tickets and we'll give it straight to Wizards. Like, who gives a shit? Right.
There's got to be a way to make it happen. I mean, the people that are online that are playing in these tournaments are using cards that originated from WotC. They had to get them
yeah.
from them somehow.
Right, exactly. No matter what, they had to have get, you know, had,
they are
they
the
still
nexus
have to
of all
cards.
Yeah,
right.
I think
Academy can't just generate its own cards. It had to come from WotC.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Robo, because you have no idea how many times that people, and I'm just going to let everybody know, it doesn't matter which store you deal with, only Wizards of the Coast can directly inject items into your account.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. Ferret goes through horrible orders where people are like, you stole my cards, you put cards in my account. No, I cannot do that. I have no power. But like, in all honesty, I think Wizards is really missing, especially their MTGO, like, interface. Like, you've got A-Team, Heavy Meta, you got, like, even limited resources. You've got really good, not that we're a good one or even should be on that list, but, like, we are, you know, there's a lot of really good brands out there in casts and social communities.
Moto Academy,
yeah, Face Games. Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, well, Face Paper, but.
Well,
like,
see, and here's the thing.
Hold on. So, like, and that, if they just gave us a simple tool, like, you know, make up a cool little graphic, and, like, you log on to Moto, and it's like, hey, these are some sponsored store events. Then the store could hype their fan base, get them involved, and I'm sorry, you know, Worth, listen up, dude. If we tweet something, 25 people will jump on Moto and pay tickets. Like, it's not, and I'm not saying we would use that power for bad reasons, but there's demand. Like, there's obviously clear demand that you could do this if you want.
It happens when you tweet something. When I tweet something, 25 people jump on and say, you're an idiot, Kevin.
Okay.
Because you say something stupid.
All right,
well,
guys,
that's because you tried to burn yourself
about,
alive.
That's about true. The thing about player run events is that they have to be free to enter. Okay. Now, I think the problem
why?
That
okay, why would they have to be free? It wouldn't it just be like even like how about a one ticket split? Wizard gets
that,
one,
that's
store
a
gets
WotC
one.
Policy. Okay, I'm just going with what it is. Okay, so WotC policy is that the player run events have to be free to enter.
And what about the prize pool?
And the prizes, whether there are prizes or not, is completely up to the sponsor. But I think the reason why they haven't actually implemented said idea yet. To be able to make it so other people can make it is because they're afraid that too many people would do make how many ever. Because if you remember the back, did you ever do online poker at all?
Yeah, and when you get and it's I get the dilution effect where there's like 50,000 tournaments, but like if they okay, it's so simple.
What they could do is they could just give certain accounts
exactly
or certain the ability to just make it. So there's like.
Exactly.
One that would be is MTGO Academy would possibly do it. MTGO Traders would do it. I can see Card Nexus. All your big bot chains that are paying thousands of dollars in
If they're so worried about it, their whole concept now is driving everyone to the stores. Well, let a store do it.
Well, I think
every store has a TO. Tie it to the TO like every other freaking event.
I think you know what would happen? Just like the stores. Imagine if, like, all of a sudden a bot got the ability to put a graphic on the homepage, like, enter my thing. All the other bots would suddenly be like, wait, this isn't fair competition rules, blah, blah, blah. So I could see they're like, they want to leave it a free market where they're not involved and then no one can yell at them. But at the same time, I think if it was handled right, And you maybe had a rotating license. So you're like, you know, you offer 10 stores, 10 licenses to run 10 events a month. And then if you ran one last month, you can't have run the next month. And then you give it to the next. And like, there's so many ways, like creative ways to do this. Or you just say that, look, it's a trusted thing. Like, we only give it to who we want that proves themselves with that they're, you know, been in the business for a couple of years or whatever criteria they want. I just think like it would be a really, really fucking awesome, cool thing. And if you didn't want to give it to stores or bots because there was issues.
Then you've got gatherling.com and PDC.com. Those are two big ones that run free tournaments daily as it is anyway.
Exactly. Or you could just take, like, how awesome would it be to help? I know Trick tries to help, you know, the websites out there and, you know, do card previews and shit. How awesome would it be to, like, approach some of the big content providers? SCG, as bad as it sounds, I don't think it would be. Fireball and Mana Deprived, you know, Gathering Magic, and just say, hey, guys, you want to run one? Like, it's all about promoting the game, and I think that would just make MTGO feel more like a real tournament, where it's like, hey, I know my friends are like, hey, it's the Mana Tribe people that I chat to all the time. Like, we're all going to enter this one tournament. Like, that's the whole, like, excitement. Like, there's
what we try to do with Cube and Draft and stuff. Like, we're trying to get our friends in together so that we can go play, because that's half the fun of, like, playing in paper tournaments is going there with your buddies.
Exactly.
Everybody going to a Grand Prix by themselves with no friends to a room full of strangers and playing at a Grand Prix, like, you know, you do that with your friends. You know, you go there with your buddies and all the people you've met on the internet that play Magic and meet up there and have good times together, which is what something we've said is sorely lacking in the Moto realm.
Yep.
And so that would be a good way to fix it.
Well, the big thing is this behavior is already going on. whether they endorse it fully or not. So you might as well pull your head out of the sand and get ahead of it and make yourself look good off of it, as opposed to just saying, well, we know that that's a little cult over there in the corner. We'll just ignore them for now. Yep. I mean, there's so many things that if you live in a corporate environment where you're just afraid of the results of everything you do, then, Moto's not going anywhere fast.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, and he had this
great. I thought you were going to say Kevin Metal fan.
I am also a Kevin Metal fan, but no, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, and he runs his Smodco Entertainment thing. But he has a really amazing viewpoint, and he says, you know, a guy's like, "Hey, man, every episode you do, I wanted to do your videos," and Kevin Smith's like, "Hey, like, why don't I just pay you to do that?" Because obviously there's huge demand for it, and then instead of you doing it on your YouTube channel, put it on mine, and I'll pay you for it. And then, hey, I just help the community provide content that the community wants. Right. And so it's like this like very friendly approach to business. Everyone generates income, we're all happy, and no one feels like this giant corporation kind of like, "Bruh, give me your fucking money, blah, blah, blah." So, I mean, I think there needs to be more of a transparency. Like, you really want to grow this thing organically, you got to start like being – nose to the ground, ear to the ground, listening. It's happening like all around. Like, you know, like you guys said, people are doing this shit already. It's just, it's very easy to move it into the system.
You know, Maddie, I'm sorry.
Go on.
That whole thing that you were saying, you know what came into my mind?
No.
We're not Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not. Hey, now,
before I lose my train of thought there, Maddie, you were talking about ooze earlier, and I know you're not a big paper card guy, but I remember a couple podcasts ago you said that you got butt fucked over the paper ooze.
Yep.
So I just wanted to let you know that I got you covered.
No, you did not. Are you serious?
No, I got you covered. Later I'll get your address and I'll send you out one.
Dude, you are the fucking best.
See, this is why we fucking love Robot. He just does shit like
that's
this.
So awesome. Yeah,
I've been waiting.
Randomly is just like, you know what? I want to help you out. You're a cool dude.
I've been holding off a little bit just to see what the reaction would be in case our locals gobbled them all up. But we've got a little bit of a surplus there, so I snagged one and we'll get it off to you.
You let me know. I'll hit you with whatever you need. That's sweet,
man. No worries.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I went around like to I don't want to. I'm getting fucking local feedback from all this. Like everyone's like, "Matt, what the fuck, man? Everyone thinks that we're this evil store." I'm like, "I don't know. Maybe you fucking are evil store."
You're a dick.
I was funny because I was in there talking to Rico. Like just the reaction people get to me now when I wear the because I got my Heaven Meta shirts, right? So quick story. So I'm wearing them all the fucking time. I got the three colors, right?
Oh, I thought you said, I was wearing them all at the same time.
No. No. It's not that cold up here yet. It's still warm. But, I was wearing them, so people are like, I'm getting these looks, like people are looking at me, and then I see them out of the corner of the eye. They pass my view, they're like, "I think I know that guy," but they didn't want to do it in front of me. And, so it's kind of funny, and I guess because I'm always red, they're giving me dirty looks like, "Oh, Heavy Metal, eh? That's the one store that's saying Oakville has shit here. I get you." No, Oakville, I mean, in all honesty, like, the Oakville stores aren't all garbage. There's always, like I said, bad apples everywhere, and, you know, there's bad people that work at certain stores, and I'm not gonna name any names for defamation lawsuits or anything, but, you know, like, guys, like, there's a lot of shady shit that seems to happen, so, like Nina says, man, be honest, be true, and, you know, it is what it is, right?
So, wait a minute, you're in Toronto, right?
I'm, like, outside of Toronto in Oakville.
Yeah, I was just saying, because, like, Nina was taken and talking about, apparently, one officer shot a kid 3 times, tased him, and then shot him 6 more times?
No,
we're brutal here in the States.
No. Slightly mis-exaggerated. So what happened is like, oh my god, now we're fucking daily newscasts or something.
What just happened here?
Not only are we daily newscasts, but we're a Canadian daily newscast.
Okay, here's the thing though. We're talking about, like, "Shit, girl, why are you still reading the Detroit news?" And she's like, "No, it's not Detroit."
Don't spout fucking lies. Yeah, they set him on fire. No, some fucking kid. Okay. Some kid got hives, fucking all whacked out, and he had a knife, and he was on a fucking, you know, streetcar, and he was, you know, being suicidal and crazy and, you know, acting like shit. Cops showed up, and he charged a cop. Cop fired, and, you know, like cops do, I'm sure, like in Toronto, even in Canada, like, you know, people aren't used to that, so, like, there's basically no guns anywhere. It's, like, fucking an awesome place. Everyone's cool. So when, like, a crazy guy
awesome
is there.
Place if there's no guns anywhere, Matt.
Ah, it's fucking the best, man. It's fucking awesome. No, I don't have to worry. Yet
the kid was shot to death.
Hey, man, it had the police carry weapons, but in all honesty, like, it's fucking isolated incident. Shit went bad. Kid went down. Who knows? I mean, it's not like L.A. when, you know, they just kill people every day for no
just
reason.
Just a random normal occurrence.
Like, we don't have guys that are doing community patrol, you know, just, like, shooting kids and fucking beating them up. I don't know. anyways, we're not Crackin' Jack is not on this cast, so we are not going political tonight, folks. We will save that for when he comes on and we talk socioeconomics and...
Shout out to Rob, by the way, because he was fucking here at my Crackin' Jack. Rob was here at my house last weekend to play some fucking booze cube because he's actually moving up north, like Northern California, to go to school and shit. And so we had to have like a big booze cube blowout thing, which the first time that I at least can remember that I actually cleaned the fuck up and won.
Oh my God, you didn't fall asleep?
No, didn't fall asleep. Played like a 3-hour fucking 4-player fucking booze cube multiplayer game and won with Esper control. Everybody's talking.
Dude, who the fuck are you?
Exactly.
I'm playing
me,
blue.
Me multiplayer Esper. Fucking none of this shit makes sense. And maybe that's why I always lose at Magic. Maybe I should have been playing fucking control and blue cards this whole time. No, I'm not even on that road. Never happened. Well, maybe, eventually it'll happen, I'm sure.
If you spray cool, those like... Snapcasters red, I will hurt you.
Oh, yeah, in Kevy's booze cube, Snapcaster is red. Just for fucking, it's because it's Kevy's cube.
I do have a red Snapcaster fucking that is in my cube.
He's the future sight. It's the future sight shifted time Snapcaster. but speaking of booze,
I do have to get to this though. Crackin' Jack Rob, huge fucking shout out to you because fucking, I mean, I gotta say goodbye to the dude. I'm not gonna actually invite him over to my house to say goodbye or anything.
Oh, so, no way.
No, the guy's leaving and going up north, so we decided to have this fucking booze cube fucking massive fucking game. And it was a hell of a lot of fun, but I did light myself on fire that night. Now, what I was going to tell you earlier is, Maddie, when I was talking about this before the cast, and you said something about, like, when you do that, you're supposed to have somebody there with, like...
A fire extinguisher?
No, no, no. It was even better. It's fucking... So, Rob is standing there. When I'm getting ready to do this, Rob is standing there with a fucking... a cup full of beer.
Oh, shit.
And you can see from the picture we're literally standing right in front of my sink, but I'm sitting there with a cup full of beer. Now the first time I tried to get the shirt to light, it wouldn't light. Like, it would barely even start to catch, and so eventually I had to fucking move on to fingernail polish.
Wait, sorry to interrupt you, because heavy metal shirts are fire retardant, just so I know. They're quality built.
Apparently, yeah, I could not get that sumbitch to light for nothing. It would just
apparently sing. Not retard.
No.
You can always find a way to light something on fire.
If you read the label, it definitely says a retard can break every warranty on the shirt.
Yeah, if you went full retard like that guy, then yes, our warranties are void. But couldn't get the thing to light at first, so I had to resort. to fingernail polish remember to get the thing to catch on fire. But what's great is we're standing there getting ready to light my shirt on fire, and as I'm staring at the sleeve and it's only just singeing a little bit, as soon as it started to catch a little bit, Rob just douses me with a cup full of beer. He just fucking hammers me with it. Beer all down my shirt, all down my face, all down my body, and it hadn't even actually caught fire yet. So, thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. That was before I actually even lit the thing on fire. I had to put my arm in the sink and turn the fucking faucet on to put it out. But Rob got me with the beer. He handled his business.
I'm thankful that stuff you used worked, because if that didn't work, you would have probably tried gasoline next.
Probably would have moved to that. I didn't do good. Well, it worked. Fingernail polish remover is just fucking acetone, and I deal with acetone all day at work. That shit's flammable as fuck. I've caught so many people on fire with that at work.
Some on purpose, some not on purpose.
You know how they have the Wemyss frickin', safety board 30 days without an accident? In Kevy's work, like, oh man, it's been 3 days and no one's been on fire. What the fuck?
Fire, nobody's got, like, yeah.
Kevy has his own MSDS sheet.
Oh man, so yeah.
I can just see it now. Kevy's all, what the fuck? They said this shit was flammable.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I wish I could have met Kraken Jack. Rob's a good dude. Like, if I had a chance to play Booskip, I would want him as one of the guys. He's a solid dude, so.
You know, the best part about Rob, too, is fucking Rob is awesome. Rob drinks a little bit, but Rob is not a drunk like we are. So, when Rob drinks, it doesn't take more than fucking 20 minutes before he's on full tilt drunk. It's so fucking funny. It's so awesome. I fucking love it, dude. And it's so funny to watch. Like, we sit down. We always, when we play Booze Cube in my house, we have a pre-fucking draft shot. So everybody takes a shot to kick things off, and then we draft. And then we have a shot as a group before we start playing. So
you're so hardcore, dude. You don't drink pre-shots playing Booze Cube.
No, and so Rob is like, we sit down to start the game, and Rob's already a little bit tipsy and just all, rah, yeah, just fucking, he's already fucking, a little bit tipsy and having a good time, and we're just all, man, I'm not even drunk yet. And the best part is, like, I always, every time this happens, every time I play Booze Cube with Rob, Rob starts getting drunk really, really early, and then it makes me go, I'm not as drunk as Rob yet. Instead of, actually trying to win the fucking game, we're actually
trying to catch up.
I could just be like, sweet, Rob's drunk. Let's fuck him over. But instead, I go, like, yeah, hey, let's all swing at Rob before he knows what's happening. No, I'm just all, Rob's drunker than I am. Fuck that. And so I start taking drinks that I don't have to, or I'd start taking shots that I don't have to involve with the game just to fucking get in the spirit of things. And then all of a sudden, no matter how much you think Rob is asleep, passed out on the fucking couch, when his turn comes around, he's just all, and he gets up, eyes barely open, fucking looks down at his cards, adjusts for a second, and then pulls some sort of fucking crazy move out of his ass. Like, you're just like, there's no way he's going to realize. Like, we got a big complicated board state. Oh, yeah, there's no way he's going to realize that. And he sits up, and not only does he realize that, but he came up with something that you didn't. And it still fucking comes ahead. It's like, God damn it! You were asleep on the couch. You were literally laying there fucking like you were passed out. And then your turn comes around and you sit up and you just fucking overthink the board and just be like, boom, here it is. Suck it.
He fucking Alexander Haynes and it's done.
It is strategy.
It could be.
Technique yet.
I think that's what it is. Maybe the dude, maybe I'm completely wrong with everything I just said and he just pretends he's
this time. Oh, man.
Because all I did was hold on to fucking – I drafted a deck. I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to play this deck because this is not what I'm used to. It's not what I do. But I didn't play anything till like fucking turn 5 or 6 or some shit like that, which is just out of hand for me because to me that's like after the end of the game.
Yeah, really. That's a long game.
But it was like all I'm doing is sitting there holding on and then they'd play something. As soon as it became a threat, I'd just be like, okay, no, I'm going to kill that. Okay,
right, Maddie?
Just a bunch of removal, and then, like, removal, and then, like, graveyard recursion stuff, and ended up basically pulling everything out of everybody's graveyard and put it on my board.
Yeah.
We've got to make an over-under bet here. Over-under on how many episodes before Kevy is playing with Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Oh, I guarantee you. I'll tell you right now. Kevy is going to find a way to get a From the Vault 20. He's gonna just be walking along and someone will drop one out of their backpack and it's gonna happen. Like, he has horseshoes in his ass. I guarantee you he'll be at the store one day and an old man will be like, oh, those 3 From the Vault 20 I ordered? I don't really want 3. I just want 1. Where's this young man with the tattoos? I know he's gonna find a way. Or he's gonna order like some like Hell Riders and a From the Vault 20 will show up and fuck it up.
Exactly. That's the way it'll happen. I'll order some fucking, it won't even be Hellriders. I'll order some garbage red card, and then fucking From the Vault 20s will show up.
Oh, well, man.
If he's getting From the Vault 20 from old men, it's not horseshoes he's taking in his ass.
Oh, the setup.
Oh, you fucker. You made me choke. Oh, that's awesome. You bastard. Oh man, so
I'm, well, I'm still praying that fucking I get like that I get a fucking one of them from our store. Fucking yeah. All my friends are getting one because they were smart enough to get out of bed and go down to the store and fucking reserve one.
Yeah, fucking, I don't know. Like
the last episode when I was talking about it, I got a tweet from Crackin' Jack Rob and he's just all, "Oh what? Holy shit! Our LGS is getting fucking 20 of them. I need to get down there." And then like. And I need to go investigate because we were talking about, like, they told me they were getting 20. And from what everybody else had heard, that wasn't really the case. That wasn't what was going on. And so Rob's like, "I'm going to go investigate." And he goes down to the fucking store. He's all, "Fuck yeah, I'm getting it from the Vault 20. I just prepaid my shit."
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, motherfucker, you could have been one of the two people that I need to not buy one.
Yeah, you would have made it.
Well, the problem is, too, is you knew your ass was just taken and chilling back on that too, so you only got yourself to blame there.
No, I to an extent, like, of course I'm not gonna jump up and down and scream at him, "Go get it, go get it, go get it," because I need somebody to not buy one. But at the same time, he's a buddy of mine. I'd rather him get it than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, watching Evan Irwin's Magic Show episode where he's talking about it, I'm like, oh man, it looks really cool now. Like, ah, shit. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe they'll won't be so expensive, but I highly doubt it.
I feel like I'm going to start fucking, like, I'm going to start jumping the gun on everything. Like, they're going to be like, M14's coming out. I'm like, I'm going to buy six boxes just in case. Well, then I'm going to run down and reserve this shit the day it's announced. And then, like, I'm going to end up having to be on the hook for, like, six boxes of M14.
Yeah, it's the hype cycle, right? Like, this is a good one. I mean, you know, we'll probably do it on our year of Heavy Meta, which is coming up close. But, like, if this was the 20th anniversary year, you know, looking back already, I can see, like, it was a pretty fucking epic year, man. Maybe it was Heavy Meta's first year too, but
well, no, that's why 20th year is like there. You've got like Modern Masters.
Oh, dude, it goes even further back.
Well, no, okay.
Stride, Return to Ravnica.
No, you have Heavy Meta, then you have Modern Masters, then you have
Return to Ravnica.
No. Okay. You have Heavy Meta, and you have Modern Masters. Then you have Jace being in from the Vault 20. Those are the top three events.
Oh, okay, you're ranking them.
What happened to Magic in its 20th year?
Don't forget, it's going to be fucking Power 9.
Everything after that doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah, well, if Power 9 fucking... Well, anyways, we talk about it all the time, but if it ever comes, man, that's... Fucking Magic's the shit. But anyways, talking about booze and shit. So, if you're following on Twitter, you probably saw that, I think it was Friday, I don't know, even know what fucking, what day, Don Julio has kind of wrecked my mind, but, I was asking recipes for margaritas, cause I'm like, oh, a bunch of people are coming over, and I want to do something different, right? And I was like, I asked a bunch of people, like, hey, what do you guys think? He's like, oh, well, of course, you ask your Twitter followers because they're all fucking drunks. And, huge shout out to everybody that hit me back instantly. I'm like, wow, okay. And they're like,
you guys are a bunch of drunks.
They're like, here's what you do. You get Grand Marnier, you get fucking this, you get your fresh limes. And they're like, they all told me how to do it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to make my own fucking margaritas, right? And of course, I'm like, I'm not going to follow your fucking parts mix suggestions. I'm just going to mix it to taste. I'm going to fucking whatever I want, right?
Hell yeah.
And I'm like,
no.
Yeah, so.
If you follow drink suggestions, like drink part suggestions, you'll never get drunk.
Exactly. Now, I thought, like, you know, okay, I drink Kraken, you know, I could drink Whiskey Pig, and, like, you know, they don't really floor you or anything. They're good shit. So I'm like, all right, maybe, you know, because margaritas are girly drinks and that, maybe I need to up the parts here because I don't think they're going to be as strong as they should be, right? So anyways, first off, you don't want to be a drunk in fucking Canada. I go to the liquor store and Don Julio's $70 a bottle.
That shit's expensive.
Yeah, so.
Yep. I don't even know if it's a Canada thing, dude. That shit's just fucking expensive.
Now, so I was having like six people over. Okay, so I'm like, well, one bottle is obviously not enough. I bought three bottles. of fucking Don Julio. Three.
I love Maddie because Maddie's such a baller. He's yeah. just all, nah. Now we need three of those.
Well, no, I can't because I'm going to make margaritas, right? I bought fresh limes. I wanted to do it right. Like, you know,
I bought fresh limes. Like, I spent $1.50 to buy fresh limes. I need three bottles of fucking $70 tequila.
Well, you know, okay, see, here's what it is. Like, when I do something, I want it done right. And I'm like, right. especially if I do something for the first time, I always overcompensate. On my first kid's birthday, my wife's like, she needs a birthday cake. I'm like, oh, yeah. How many people are coming over for a birthday? Like, 20.
Hired a wedding cake baker and
not even. I go to the store, the grocery store, and they do cakes. And I go to the lady and I'm like, what's your biggest cake? And she's like, oh, it feeds 48 people. I'm like, yeah, but we eat cake. I don't want no fucking 1-inch square. I'm like, I want a big cake. So she shows me and it's like, I don't know, like 24 inches by like, 18 inches. I'm like, I want two of those. And she's like, how many people are coming? 100? I'm like, no, there's like 20 people. She's like, that's way too much, sir. I'm like, I want two fucking cakes put together and fucking double icing. I want it, and she's like, so I go to pick it up and it's so big. It doesn't like, I'm like, holy shit. And she's like, you asked for it.
Yeah, maybe this is too much cake.
So my little girl, Ella, is sitting in a high chair, right? And we have a picture. I'll find it. And I have a cake bigger than the table it's sitting on in front of her. And they're like, what? Oh, don't let her get too close to the cake. I'm like, why? Well, she could just dive into the one end of the cake and we could still eat the other end. So anyways, I overcompensated. So I get home.
Yeah, back to your tequila story.
Yeah, back to the tequila story. So the people are coming over, like everyone's coming over around like 4 o'clock. So it's noon. Okay. And I'm like, well, I better make a test. Margarita.
Test batch.
Well, yeah. No, wouldn't you? Because I've never made it.
Absolutely.
Thank
Especially
you.
Especially because you have this fucking expensive tequila sitting there that you want to see what it's all about.
So, exactly, right? I want to make sure it tastes good. So my wife was like, right? I'm like, oh, I was going to make one of them. Maybe by the time she gets back, before people get here, I'm like, here, you want to try one? We'll try it out. So I'm making my fucking, I'm making like three different salt rims, one super spicy. Like, I'm going crazy. Marcel would have been proud.
I could totally see Maddie's hammered drunk by 3 o'clock and he's just still telling his wife, he's like, I had to make sure that I didn't have to go back to the store for more tequila.
That was one of my arguments. I was like, I bought three because if we're drunk, like I can't drive, right? So anyways, so my blender bottles that I fill up with shit. So I'm like, one of those would be perfect to mix the drinks in. So I basically dumped half a bottle of Don Julio and I in there and I made the alcohol mix, with the Grand Marnier and that, and I make my limes and sugar mix. Anyways, so I filled one up with like mix and I'm like, okay, this is just gonna, we'll see if it works. And I drank one and I'm like, this is fucking the best thing ever. Like, I was like, holy shit, I just made the sickest drink. And then this is what I did. I'm like, I don't want this to be a pussy party. So I just took straight Don Julio and just topped up the glass. Like, just, I'm like, all right, I want it to be stronger. By the time my wife got home, she looks at me, she's like, how much have you been drinking? I'm like, are you talking about nothing? I'm not drinking. What? And she's like, you didn't even speak English there. Like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I totally did. I totally did. Totally just spoke English. Like, what are you talking about? So people start coming over and I start like, I'm like, hey man, check this out. Dodge it. And so everybody, the three guys were drinking. We went through three fucking whole bottles. But we drank two bottles, and then some asshole decides, like, hey, it's only 6:30, and we're out of margarita mix. And I'm like, I think we're good. Like, I am, like, I'm fine. I am, like, flying high, guys. I think we're solid. He's like, no way.
Well, I go to bed at 9 o'clock, bitches.
And you know what someone said? It's like the Marty McFly chicken thing. They're like, hey, are you old? I'm like, no, we're not fucking old.
No, I'm not old.
He goes, old people go to fucking bed right now. We're fucking going to be drinking. I'm like, what the fuck? It's Friday. Whatever. All right. So we fucking just killed I don't even remember the rest of the fucking night. All I know is in the middle of the fucking.
Those are always the best nights, too.
Well, the best is when guys are telling their wives, like, honey, are you drinking? And they're like, no. He's like, good, because I'm drinking your share. So everybody was so fucking just smashed. Like, that shit is evil fucking shit. It's so tasty. And
tequila
it's fucking
is evil, man. I'm telling you.
So
I can't even drink that shit.
Well, I know why now. I think I have a quarter bottle left, and I don't know if I'll
be drinking. So, Maddie, you've learned why it is called tequila.
Yeah. Yeah. So
most people learn that in high school, Maddie. You're a little bit behind.
That is exactly where, that's where my tequila story ends up in high school.
Hold on, this, you haven't even got to the good part yet. This is, so at about like 8 o'clock, I'm like, oh man. And you know when you're like, I did something wrong. Like, my body's telling me you're gonna fucking pay the Reaper. And I told you.
Welcome to my alarm clock. So, that's how I feel every single morning.
So wait, this is so horrible. So I tweeted, Motika from, Slip Jagger Motika when we were in, Vegas. And, those guys are fucking awesome dudes. And he's like, dude, he goes, grease, water, grease, water. That's what you gotta do. And I, in my Don Julio state, was like, is he joking or serious? I'm like, he's one of my friends. I think he's serious. And I'm like, guys, I'd cook like barbecue, like fucking tons of shit. And I'm like, man, and all of us, we're all sitting on the deck and I'm like, we need to drink more water and then more grease. And apparently I go, this is logic, folks. It's grease and water. So we're eating chicken wings. And fucking water, and we're really not drinking water. We're drinking chicken wings and fucking more. And
thank God. I was waiting for you to tell me you were just like, okay, grease and water. That's it. Just started drinking grease and water. Oh my God.
It was, okay, so one guy, thank God, okay, thank God I'm getting my backyard redone, because one guy, he fucking, the corner of my yard is like, his gut.
Yo, heave-ho.
Yeah, he, and we all laugh, and we're like, you didn't have no grease, and he's like, I had a lot of grease, like.
He's all, I was supposed to eat the chicken, I was taking shots of grease.
Oh yeah, it was pretty crazy, but everybody laughs, and then I'm like, I was just cleaning up, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, man. Don Julio is a motherfucker, man, because I feel him ready to shove his fist up my ass and pull my fucking organs out my throat. Like, I'm like, I can feel this is not going to be good. Needless to say, I could take liquor pretty good. Don Julio and tequila is a nasty motherfucker, and I do not endorse anyone drinking three fucking bottles of Don Julio with people. That shit is brutal, man.
That's
drink it with
scary.
People, but drink it with like 30 people.
Yeah, exactly. The ratio. I got the ratios wrong.
Not just you and a couple buddies.
One guy.
No, I still to this day, and I mean, you guys know what a raging fucking alcoholic I am, but I still to this day, I can drink margaritas. I enjoy margaritas. That's fucking fine. But like, there's a fine line, and I ruined myself on tequila when I was in high school, and I'm fucking 33 now, and I still will, I don't ever throw up from drinking, but if I smell fucking tequila, it's all over. I will puke all over whatever's in front of me. And it was because of this one night. Like when I was in high school, and you know, you're just learning about drinking and you're just getting into it. You're just like, oh, you guys got beers? Fucking sweet. You know? So I'm just learning about drinking. This is Kevin in his infancy.
Oh man, this is like the golden age, Kevin. You know,
yeah,
you
exactly.
You know, wait. That's the young pyromancer to Chandra.
Exactly. Yeah. Quick side note. Like, just so you guys know, I remember the first beer I ever had. The first time I ever tried alcohol.
So do I. Where was yours?
The first beer I ever had. I was so just like, I was trying to be cool, like in front of like the buddies I was hanging out with. I was like, oh, I want a fucking beer. They're like, shut up, you don't drink. And I was, fuck yeah, I do. And so I grabbed a beer and I got fucked with so much because, I mean, I was hanging out with some fucking older dudes and they knew better. Like, you know, they keep finding this beer that's like 3/4 of the way full because it was fucking terrible. I was just like, oh, this is gross. Why do you guys drink this? I don't understand. And so I kept randomly leaving mine on the counter full of empties. But like, then somebody would come up and like throw all the empties in the trash. And they're like, who the fuck? What the fuck is this beer doing here? And I didn't understand. I didn't know any better. Like, what is this fucking beer doing here? This thing's almost fucking full. I'm sorry, that was mine. I was looking for that. I set it on the counter. And then like 20 minutes later, there'd be fucking 10 more empties on the counter, and I'd be like, oh, whoop, and just go set it up on the counter. Sure as shit, somebody would find it. And it didn't take long for them to be like, dude, seriously, just drink the fucking beer and quit being a bitch. It was fucking terrible. And then what happened? Then I turned into a raging alcoholic. I still don't really drink beer, though. Anyway, fucking high school, I'm fucking just learning about drinking this glorious world that is alcohol. And, I had never really drank tequila before. Well, one of my old roommate, actually the guy that I moved to Alaska with, one of my old roommates was just like, all, hey, we were still in high school at the time though. He's just all, hey, fucking, my mom's got this fucking bottle of tequila, you know, and we're going to make fucking tequila poppers. Whereas basically you take a double sized shot glass, you put a shot of tequila in it, and then you put the other shot of squirt, like, you know what squirt is. Soda, fucking citrus soda. And yeah. Then you put your hand over the top and you fucking bang it on the table. And it fucking, it just overflows all crazy. You like fucking bang it on
down
the table.
Down your throat, yeah.
And so we're, it's just the greatest fucking thing ever. These are fucking amazing! And so we went on this kick for like 2 weeks where all we would buy is tequila and squirt. Well, then we started running out of money. And so we were going to a party one night in the ghetto, and we stop off at the grocery store at Albertson's, the grocery store, and we buy Albertson's tequila because we didn't know any better. And so we buy a fucking big ass jug of that just says tequila across the front of it. Not like fucking, you know, agave this and that, not fucking, you know, Don Julio or anything
straight,
like that.
Dirty, no, tequila.
It's just all tequila. I'm pretty sure it was spelled with like a CK.
Yeah, Uncle Medina's tequila.
Yeah, exactly. It was fucking just straight up grocery store brand tequila and a 12-pack of squirt. Well, it's not only is this like the worst tequila on the planet, like grocery store brand tequila, but, and you know, I know now that I would fucking sell my firstborn child before I would drink a bottle of fucking liquor, fuck grocery store brand tequila, but I didn't know any better back then. So, and we're all into this tequila poppers thing. And so we show up at the fucking party, the 12 pack of squirt and this bottle of fucking dirt tequila, and kind of set up shop on the washer and dryer. And we take a couple, you know, one or two, something like that. And then I start going around mingling. Bunch of people there. I haven't seen them forever. Having a good time. Bullshitting. Hey, everything's cool. And then I make my way back into the fucking kitchen laundry room area. And Sean's still standing there at our post. And he's just like, oh, what the fuck, dude? I'm like three up on you right now. Well, fuck you. Boom, one. Boom, two. Boom, three. And he's just like, all right, now let's take one together.
Oh, all right. God, that's disgusting.
Boom, one. And he's like, all right, let's take one more. I'm like, fuck, yeah, right, let's take another one. Boom, another one. And then I go, start, you know, I get in a conversation, start talking to somebody, fucking take off a little bit. Well, this goes on for like a good hour and a half.
Oh, my God, dude.
And we, like, we think, you know, we're in high school, we think we're fucking invincible, but the problem is, like, Sean's a liar. Sean was standing there talking to people at the fucking, at the washer and dryer all night, and then when I'd walk back in the room, he'd be like, dude, I've had, like, three or four since you left, and I, you know, I'm like, fuck you, I will catch up. And then I'd catch up, and then he would take his, you know, third or fourth
of them,
and, like, yeah, you see where this fucking story's going. Yeah. Well, what it turned into was me literally fucking projectile vomiting all over the front yard of this fucking place. Thank God I wasn't inside. Like, there was a girl there that I was interested in.
Yeah, not anymore.
She was interested in me.
Not anymore. I
shit you not. Like, somehow I still pulled this. I didn't sleep with her or anything. But somehow I still pulled this out. I ended up dating this girl later.
Wow. Wow.
I'm pissed at my life because there was no control. Like, I'm drunk and I'm like, I'm trying, I'm wanting to talk to this girl, but I can't because I have no control over my body anymore. I'm just all over the front yard. Still to this day, because of that night, still to this day,
if you put
like a fucking shot of Jose Cuervo in front of me, I will fucking throw up all over the fucking bar.
quick side story, because you mentioned laundromats. So When I was shooting bands for BMG down in the, you know, cool part of town there, which is really just for ghetto, I took this young band and we were walking around, and I'm like, hey, you guys are cool. Like, we'll do some wicked photos and shit. And so we were at this laundromat, and
I have a laundromat story too.
Dude, this is hilarious. And I was like, okay, get inside and I'll take a picture of you guys. Like, it'll look really cool. Like, it was a really great shot. Anyways. They were like, oh, and we tried to do it, and this, like, old Chinese lady came out and, like, you know, threw soap at us, and we got kicked out of the store. But they really loved the idea, and they're like, we gotta do this. And I'm like, yeah, sure, let's just get something to eat first, you know. So these guys are fucking, they're, like, heavy, right? They're a band, and a band doesn't take a photo shoot seriously. They take it as, let's get fucking smashed, and I'll scream, and you take some wicked pictures of me. And I was, like, a little naive, and I didn't know really how to corral these guys and keep them on track, so they kind of got a little wasted at lunch, like, probably a little too wasted. And anyways, they're like, man, we're not, we cannot end this shoot without getting this laundromat shot. I'm like, okay, well, there's another laundromat I know about, so we go down on King Street, and there's big laundromats, like industrial ones that you could, like, sit inside. And these guys are like, yeah, okay. So they all get in, we take the shot, and then the one guy's like, you know what would be funny? And he slams the door, and the other guy turns the dryer on. And the guy is spitting for, like, three – like, the dryer was, like, shaking. It was going to fall over, and he stopped it. But the guy was like – you could tell, like, you know, he spun up, right? And
you literally stole my story. I've literally done that before in my life. I'm not even gonna tell mine.
Maybe it was you, because what he does next is the best. So all the other guys are like, oh man, you look really sick. And again, I don't know what it is. I'm not being racist or anything, but another Chinese lady or a good Asian lady, she ran up with a broom and is like yelling at us like, you crazy people are going to wreck my star. So we're like, okay, well, we're just going to get one more shot of the band standing there. And so they're all standing there. She's like, hurry, get out of my store or pay me money. So I'm about to take the shot of the band. And I'm like, this is going to be the cover, guys. This looks so wicked. And the guy starts heaving. And he's going to throw up, okay? And I'm doing a low angle with a wide lens. So I'm like a foot under the band. I'm going to get covered in fucking puke, okay? Thank God the bass player, dude, Sven, I think his name is Sven. I owe you for the rest of my life. What he did, the guy is, it's coming, right? He's heaving. He turns the guy's shoulders and just shoves his head into the fucking dryer. And he just pukes in the dryer. He's just puking, right? And the Chinese lady loses it. Breaks the broom over the guy's head. Just, like, screaming, you cannot throw up. Anyways, we're like, I'm getting the fuck out. Like, I'm like, guys, it's everyone for your own skin.
That's because fucking Sven the bass player knows his fucking bandmates. That's one thing. It's one thing that comes from being in a fucking – in a group like that with people that you know – what is happening?
He did. Like, he wasn't even in his right mind. Like, but he knew. Like, yeah. He's like, oh, yep. And he knew that.
Yep. Second. Oh, he's
like,
gone.
It's gone. It's over. There's no coming back from this heave, right?
And we do the same kind of shit. Like, my whole band has saved each other from some serious shit before because we just saw it coming.
well, this is the funny thing. So we're running. Like, the guy is like puking as we're trying to, like, get him out of there, and we're walking down the street, right? And the creative A&R lady was fucking running BMGs like, hey, there you are. How's it going? Like, you know, I wanted to check and see how the shoot was going. And the guy's got, like, nursing a goose egg on his head from a broom. Just cracked his head. The other guy is, like, still, like, looks like death's door. And she looks at me, and I'm like, it was the best shoot ever. We've got the sickest photos. And she's like, oh, my God. Like, what the fuck happened to you guys? And they were cool.
I'm telling you.
No, wait.
That's
what
rock and roll's all about, man.
They were cool. They could have told, they were like, you know, they could have had me fired on the spot, right? And they were like, Susan, this guy is the shit. Every cover, every shot, we want this guy. This guy is the best. And I was like, yeah. And just, I have the photo of them just, like, all, like, beat the shit. It's just hilarious. Like, typical rock and roller guys. It was a fucking hilarious story. Needless to say, do not ever get your clothes cleaned on that King Street. Because it will stink. I don't think you can get that smell out.
No, dude, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, we've been through many fucking, like, there's something that comes with fucking being in a like a band like that, like it just you get to know the guys so well that it's just fucking, you know, we've done a lot of the same type of shit. Like when you're in that situation, it's like, oh, you catch a weird glance from one of the guys in the band and you're like, oh shit, I know what that means, we need to get him out of here now. Or oh shit, like, you know, it's a camaraderie, I guess, that, like, there's not really any way to explain it other than if you've ever been in a band with fucking, you know, 3, 4, or 5 other dudes. It's fucking, it's crazy.
I wonder if Roboto's ever had a close call.
We need to talk to Roboto because we got this motherfucker to come in and hang out on our cast. And we're like, you know what? Instead, let's just tell stories back and forth.
It's Kevy's Storytime Corner tonight.
He's always got the best stories, though.
Yeah. Well, it's Maddie's story time corner tonight.
Oh, Maddie. This is kind of my story time corner. It's Don Julio. It's tequilas.
Well, that's just it. Like, I was going to say that, I was a couple months back, was on vacation in Mexico, and one of the things we did was a general tour of the area, and it included a tequila tour, like of a place where you go and buy all these. I had no idea there was like 1,000 variations of tequila. And like you, I have horrible memories from high school about tequila. I can't even smell it. I'm like you, man. I'll just get really sick. So we go on this tour. There's like, I don't know, 15, 20 of us get off this bus and we go through this alley.
You
and
can't
we
smell it or you get sick and you're like, I'm going to go on a tour of
Well, it was part of the package of the whole city tour, right?
I got to get your value, right? Yeah, you got to get the value.
And I had no idea we were going into this like 10 by 10 room with a giant circular tequila stand in the center of the room, barely enough room for us all to cram in here. And they start passing tequila around that you can drink and stuff. And the guy, I don't know if he just knew that by instinct that I was not happy to be there, but he kept passing me all this tequila. And I'm just starting to choke a little bit, and I'm just like, man, I got to get out of here. But I was like in the back of the room, I couldn't get out, and there were all these happy drunk people drinking up tequila.
I'm trapped by tequila.
And I'm just trapped in this room, and I look at my wife, she sees I'm turning green. I'm like, I don't know, man, I don't think I can hold this. And I somehow managed, but it was close. And people were looking at me funny because I was turning the tequila away. I'm like, no, man, don't pass me that anymore. Oh, it was the worst part of the whole vacation.
That shit's brutal, man. And it's one of those things that, like, I don't know, there's that certain smell to tequila that it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know, vodka doesn't really have a fucking smell.
No.
You know, whiskeys and fucking rums and shit, that's fucking fine. You know, they're different depending on the brand and shit like that. Like, tequila always has this distinct fucking smell to it.
Only and bad tequila.
Maybe that's
though.
Because I've gotten fucking that wrecked on it, but like, just the whiff of it.
The kind of tequila you drink in high school has a bad smell.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the fine tequilas that this guy was selling, some of it was all right. I mean, some of it you wouldn't even hardly know. But just for me, it was just the visual and just the sense of being around tequila. Yeah, exactly.
What I was told is always get clear tequila. That's you don't get the yellow one. Because that's even worse.
There's like 1,000 different grades of this stuff, and it all depends on how long they distill it and stuff. I was trying to pay attention to the tour, but I was too busy trying not to Ralph. And
trying not to throw up.
Well, I mean, if I had let go in that room, that'd have been a debacle, man. That'd have been
it. Oh, that would have been vacation hell right there. But speaking of like quitting tequila, one of our amazing fans on Twitter here, he has a good question for us, and I thought it would be a good topic to cover at this point.
It's a wonderful segue, Matthew.
I try. So Rick Anderson, Anderson AE86 on Twitter, good old Rick here, he says, he goes, you know, with all the recent people departing Magic, what would make you quit? And he's not asking what rage quit. He's saying, I mean, sell everything. Like, walk away. Is done and you never touch the game again. And do you think you ever will?
M14.
Yeah, that's it. No, we're fucking out of here. You did it, Magic.
Well, I was gonna say this thing now. Have I missed out? Lots of people are quitting all of a sudden.
Well, I mean, like, I think he's referring to the Medina, and then who else walked away? Who the fuck else?
I cheated on my wife. I quit too.
Yeah, I mean, some other people walked away. I can't. Ah, fuck. I guess they weren't too important.
No, I know.
Or
like,
we don't follow them, but.
You got, like, I know that there was somebody else a little more high profile that left.
You mean Smitty? Not that I really give a fuck about him and his fucking attitude.
There was Smitty. There was somebody else, like, a little more high profile, or like kind of high profile, and I cannot fucking place it right now. But then you also have, like, Nina, you know, being like, oh, I'm done fucking doing this shit for right now. I'm going to talk about sports every 10 minutes anyway. Yeah. But, like, I think, you know, people are getting, especially because of the Medina thing, it magnifies, like, you know, if Nina said, I'm quitting Magic, fuck this, sports ball this, and, like, everybody's like, all right, you'll be back. But, like, with Medina quitting and, you know, shit like that, it's a little more high profile, so I think it registers a little bit more.
Well, what would you do? Like, is there an event? And, I mean, I guess we could always say, oh, yeah, like, if fucking a volcano exploded or, you know, some of my family member all died, yeah, like, I guess Magic isn't that important anymore, but is there, like, something that's not so tragic that would, like, make you quit?
See, I guess, like, the hard part about that is, like, I don't know, at least for me, it's one of those things, like, I mean, I obviously haven't quit playing Magic. I mean, I did a long time ago. But, like, you know, since I've been back into the game, I haven't quit Magic. But, like, I've come and gone.
He's not implying like the take a break. He's saying quit, never come back.
Well, so that's the thing is I don't know that there's anything that could ever like keep me from coming back to an extent. Like the thing with Medina was it was like it had to be a concrete decision like that.
I still think he's going to be back.
I do too, but he had to make at least for himself to an be effort. Able to, you know, to make that effort and to do what he wanted to do. He had to make it a concrete decision. Now, of course, we can't tell the future. We don't know, like, you know, if fucking Medina and Smitty are going to be, like, on the pro tour.
I'll make a prediction right now. They'll all be back. Every one of them. Smitty will return. I guarantee you he's going to return. And the one reason why he's going to return?
Smitty's ego can't keep him away.
Exactly. He's already been trying to do the whole. He wants to get on the pro tour. He's going to come back. Medina will come back because it's too ingrained in part of his life. And you can take a year break, a 2 year break. But if Magic keeps, and this is the only thing that, in all honesty, I believe is Magic is like what he gives you is like part of you. So you're always going to look for it. Whether sports gives it to you or another thing, you're still going to crave it. So that interaction, that fantasy element, that story element, that gameplay element, all that shit, your friends, like it's part of something. So I think people take breaks. Quitting, the only way you quit Magic is if they kill the game. Like if they make the game to a point where it's not fun anymore, yeah, then I'm done because the game doesn't exist. But as for an event that would happen in my life, I guess, like, deaths, you know, like, if serious things shit happen or, you know...
If I'm dead, I'm quitting. But even a traumatic event in your life, you know, like, life goes on. And eventually, at some point, like, you know, of course, you might get to a point, like, something seriously traumatic, you know, whether it be a divorce or a fucking serious death in the family or fucking, you know, something career-wise, like something on the opposite side of the spectrum. Like, you don't have time to do what you're doing anymore. You don't have time to fucking play Magic on the side, you know, a couple nights a week or whatever anymore. And you essentially leave the game, you know, because, like, you know, say, for instance, like, say we get signed to a major label and I'm on tour all the time and my new job is actually to play music instead of having a normal day job.
Then you would have so much free time, you would play more Magic than you do now.
No, because if we got, like, to be honest, like, you know, if we got signed by a fucking major label, like, I'm not going to have the free time because, they're not all, here's a ton of money for you to live on. You guys just kind of do what you want to and occasionally play shows. No, they, you know, a label will grab you, throw you on tour instantly or throw you into the studio instantly. Like, okay, you guys need to spend fucking X amount of hours in the day on fucking, you know, writing, focusing on this, and maybe you get kind of immersed in that world. But what I'm saying is, like, even in a situation like that where I wouldn't be able to, like, focus on Magic anymore, really, like, where I had to focus on something else, like, that doesn't mean I, like, quit forever, for life, for fucking, for deadsies.
Exactly,
like,
right?
Well, you know, we all make... I wouldn't play for a while. You guys, you know, say, like, oh, man, guys, I got signed. I got fucking this and that, blah, 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 going on tour. I'm not really going to be able to do the podcast anymore. Sorry, I love you guys. Later. And then, like,
you know, I'd still talk to my Magic friends on fucking Twitter, and I'd still, you know, if I could get a chance to get some games in, like, I don't know. Once you get to a point with this game where it's a decent part of your life, like it is for all of us, I don't think you ever really leave. You know, like,
yeah. Well, we,
I mean, like Medina's situation, Medina's just like, oh, I have to do this. And he's made that a concrete line for himself. He's just all, I have to not get into this. I guarantee you the dude thinks about it still.
He said he that he's doing that to focus on his marriage now.
Right.
Now,
right.
Hopefully, in his case, that's going to resolve itself one way or the mm-hmm. other.
And do you think somebody as involved in the community as Medina, deeply immersed and obviously a huge part of his life. He's not just a random dude that casually dabbles in playing Magic with some buddies every once in a while.
But that'll happen somebody to all of us, right?
Oh, some yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
You lose your job. You have to focus on mm-hmm. your relationship. Your kid gets sick. You know, God forbid. I mean, any number of things can take you for a loop and you say, you know what? I'm just going to have to set this part of my life aside for a little bit.
Put it down.
Bit. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're.
And do you think that's going to hold up for the rest of his life?
Well, anyone that I know that's been in Magic, it hasn't held up. That's the problem.
Right, exactly.
It's not really a problem.
I don't think there's anything that could really take this game away from me for life.
Except for them fucking it up.
Other than them fucking it up or me dying.
I suppose the only thing that could really do that would be as if the game just stopped to exist.
Yeah, like the truth is. They are in control. Like, if they wreck the game, then the game will die. If they can keep putting out sets like, you know, they've been doing, and it continues to grow at a relative rate, I don't know. I don't suppose it's going to. I look at, like, comic books. I hardcore collected comics for, like, 20 years, and then I put them down, and I'm like, you know, I don't collect them hardcore anymore, but I still follow all the sites. I still, you know, read them digitally sometimes, like, you know, I'm still in it, but I'm not, like, hardcore at it. So I assume there's levels at which you would say, I'll keep my, like, EDH deck, but I won't play standard or draft, you know. So I don't think, like, hardcore cold turkey is, like, life. If life steps in and says, you have no more free time, then you quit, right? But if I have some free time that I'm allowed myself, you know, chances are it's going to go towards that, you know.
Exactly.
It's just the best outlet. So that's kind of what we think, man. Now, there is a bizarre question going on, and I assume this started by somebody, I don't know, I think it was, huge shout out for Ginger Italian for showing the video of him getting touched up on the tats, dude.
Really? I didn't see
it. Did you see that? Oh, you gotta check out Google Plus. I think it's on Google Plus. Yeah, he's like, oh, it's on that piece of shit? No. Sorry, KYT. I tried. But yeah, it's on there. And then we gotta shout out Tyler the Fro because that dude put a fucking heavy metal SUV video. So come on, people. You got to step it up, man. We were going to give it out this week, but there are certain people that are on super secret Gen Con missions, and they have requested to hold off until they get us video. So we're holding this fucking contest, people. We're holding it for you.
Some people probably still haven't gotten their shirts. I mean, mine only arrived, I think, yesterday. So they're just trickling in.
All right, then I don't feel too bad. All right, so we'll wait. We'll see. I mean, I feel bad, but I don't know when the Aussies get their shirts, but we don't want to.
That'll be 2014.
it will be actual 2014 when they get their shirts. But no, I don't know. I mean, we still want to see the shit, so send it in, people. We love it. It's awesome. And then, Kevy, Stephen Raffel. The guy that drew the Kraken Pig for us, he's challenged you.
And the penis.
He's challenged you. He says, you know, I hope this episode of Heavy Meta can challenge me to draw something. And I'm like, what? So we gotta be thinking. I don't know. That's a tough one on the spot. I mean, the Kraken Pig, how the fuck do you top the Kraken Pig? So my thought is we could each take a stab at it. And since we have a Theros, because I'm excited for Theros. So what would be your interpretation of a drink mixed with a Theros element? So a god.
Oh, we have like a category thing to do? Oh, man.
Well, it's kind of a theme, man, to get your brain going. No?
Oh, no. I just wanted a fucking drawing of fucking... I just wanted a drawing of Robot Large, like, riding a unicorn, like, in the misty moonlight.
And all I just, right. There you go, Steve.
I just want a token of that. Like wow, that's what I want. It's just is Robot like Lars with like some long like Rico Suave hair riding in the moonlight, but he's still like a robot with a big old crane dick and like riding a fucking unicorn, looking all fucking studly and awesome. And then I want to put it on a token that just says, "When you play this card, I win."
No, you know what it should be? Steel Moon Cavalier, because he's riding the horse. So we want to steal. Oh, you don't know the black and white card? Okay, well, a little, it's a way back card. It was a really good black and white card from Eventide, or no, Shadowmoor, one of those fucking sets.
One of those.
But yeah, it's a guy, it's like an evil zombie knight riding a fucking horse, so you can use that card in your template.
I could get down with that, but I'm looking at this picture on my screen of Robot just standing there with a big old crane dick in his skull. Man, he looks majestic.
Well, he did, Steven, he did my Twitter avatar.
Yeah, I know, and that shit was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
We just have another Robot Large challenge.
He did a custom token to me for me, too, that I'm going to reveal here in the near future. So, yeah, he's good. I like his art.
Yeah,
he's really good.
And if you don't want to go that style, my suggestion is because –
Okay, so real quick. Wait.
Don't ruin my
thought. All I'm saying was mine was a side challenge.
Okay. Now, okay.
The actual challenge.
Well, now your challenge sounded so cool. I'm like, well, since I tried to get an ooze and I couldn't get one, but Robot's going to hook me up. What I would love to see is if you did an ooze, but the ooze is all full of shit from the Hebimeta cave. So this is the challenge. I want Kraken bottles, I want a couch, I want fucking all the chicken wings and the Grey Pop, all the shit, because if you're a real fan...
All the weapons from the fucking the Marcel Tyrone fight?
Yeah, all that shit we want in the ooze, as if it's eating the cave. You can put heavy metal stickers in there and play... So see what you can do. There's a challenge for you. So,
that sounds good. I like...
Because I like ooze, so it could be my ultimate.
What do you want to challenge him to draw?
A new laptop.
That's Ferret's answer.
But side note, though, poor Ferret's laptop is dying, and it's going to die, so...
Shut off the porn server, it'll cool it off.
Right?
You know what it is? I told him, it's all your fucking hair. It's being sucked in. You never clean that shit.
You go up to the top of your fucking browser where it says dicks on dicks.com and /more dicks on dicks. Take that and just hit the little X in the corner.
And then it pops open all these other windows. And every time you close it, it pops through.
Yeah, when you hit the little X on the corner and then the one underneath it says penis enlargement. just keep clicking X until you get to the screen where it's just me, Maddie, and fucking Robot. And then everything will be fine.
There you go. So yeah, there's a challenge for you. I don't know, Ferret, if you got another one, we could give him a trifecta for tonight.
All right. Sorry. Okay. So we're supposed to challenge him to draw things that are inside of the cave.
No, it's an open challenge.
We're supposed to challenge him to draw shit.
He basically is like, I killed the Kraken Pig and I'm badass. So he's like, you know what? You guys inspire me, so hit it. So we're throwing in bizarre challenges that we could see if his creative skill is up to the task.
Ooh, we should turn this into a fucking contest.
No, fuck that. It's just him right now.
Not a real contest like we're going to give shit away or anything like that. I want to have him.
So it's not a contest then if we're not giving it. We're just requesting you to do free art.
Here's free labor. It will be a picture of the cave. Maddie and Kevy are puking their asses off in the individual corner while I'm sitting there on the computer downloading porn.
There you go. I love
it. And there's just a big robot wiener laying across, like completely taking up the frame.
it's coming through the front door.
I have a Jawa robe because I, you know, yippee!
Yeah, you gotta have the giant cock just smashing down the front door coming into the cave with a word balloon.
Like laying in the background while this shit's happening.
No. And then the cock has to have like a little paper note taped to it. It's like, I'll be here in a day.
See you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll see you for the cast tomorrow. There you go, Steve. I don't know if you could draw all that, man. Man, I'll be fucking impressed. That's
contest idea was like, we're not going to actually give anything away. We're just going to have Steven draw like 8 different fucking pictures, and then we're going to just have everybody vote on which one's the best, and then we're going to be like, oh, there you go. There's your prize. This one is the best.
The SBU members practically live or die on shout-outs anyway, so all you have to do is promise them a shout-out.
That's true.
I mean, those fuckers keep track of how many they get. They're like, I'm catching up the robot. They missed them again this week. I'm picking one up on them again.
Yeah, there's a secret. I heard that there's a website ranking the shout-outs. How many people, yeah. There's some Twitter list or something going around there. But, speaking of crazy artwork, Polish Demalis is on a top secret mission for Heavy Meta. Yeah, he's doing something sweet. It involves the 80s. It's going to be so fucking. Yeah, well, because I was keeping it secret from you. It was going to be a special gift to my castmates. But,
well, and you know Kevy will just get drunk and tell somebody anyway.
Well, that's true. It's just like...
You mean like what we're doing right now, getting drunk and telling everybody about it?
Yeah, no, it's going to be cool. It's going to involve the 80s and maybe Ghostbusters. It's going to be fucking sick, but it's going to be sweet. But speaking of crazy drawings and tattoos, but I didn't really talk about tattoos, but I'm segueing.
Segway!
I don't know. There's some crazy talk on Twitter about tattooing. And Kevy, you're the one that I need to defer to this is if you were going to tattoo your genitals, is there a protocol? Because like, let's say Ginger Italian is sitting there. No, wait.
I just saw these tweets.
So you need the setup. Cause if you don't understand the setup, it's hard to judge this because in a vacuum, the answer is very clear.
Yeah, you better be welcome aboard.
So let's say Ginger Italian is like sitting there one night and he's like, man, I got the bug again. I need another tat. But this time
I want it on my dick.
Exactly. You know, and he's like, I want a robot large crane on my dick so that when I get hard, I can go. And like, so he's sitting there and he's like, how do you do that? So he walks in to the tattoo guy and you tell me like, is there a protocol there? Do you show him first? What do you do? And do you say?
Well, it's still like in the tattoo world, like it's still not like a normal thing. It's not like walking in and being like, I want a tribal band on my fucking arm, but I want you to skip that 2 inches where it hurts in the middle. yeah. For the love of fuck's sakes, if any of you have a fucking gap in your armband, you have no respect for me. I don't know how many dudes, I don't know how many tough fucking big ass like ex-marines and shit like that I've seen walk into a tattoo shop and be like, oh, I want barbed wire around my bicep, you know, or I want a fucking tribal tattoo around my bicep, but can we just like, I mean, nobody's gonna see it, can we just leave out this part on the inside where it really hurts? Are you kidding me? Like, I have a rose tattooed right there where it really hurts. Like, come on, bitch. But anyway, the protocol with like, you know, or there's not really protocol. Like, you walk into a tattoo shop and be like, oh, all right, so first off, I want to get my dick tattooed.
Okay. Yeah, because I imagine you have to set that as the standard. Like, either they say, this is not the shop for you, right? Like,
you don't walk in and waste time or anything. You don't walk in and be like, all right, Luke, this is what I want to get. And they're
let's
like, all right,
discuss the design, you know, for like an hour.
Design shit like that. And they're like, all right, so where are you wanting to put this? Like, this is a little tiny tattoo. Like, are you wanting to put this, like, you know, on your ankle bone? No, I want this to take up my dick. Now, that's probably the first thing you would want to say when you walk in is be like, all right, so
dick
just to clear the air, I want to get my dick tattooed. Is that something that somebody in this facility would be willing to do? And if there is somebody, they're going to be like, that's going to cost a lot more, I guarantee. But, I mean, it all depends, too. Like, now, this being said, I personally do not have my penis tattooed.
Oh, bullshit. Friend. I don't believe that.
I do not. My best friend, Josh, who is the best man at my wedding, I know I've talked about him before, has his dick tattooed.
Oh, now, he does? Well, see, now, I knew you'd know someone.
Fuck, now, get that guy on the show.
Yeah, but this is a different kind of situation. Like, this isn't a, like, hey, I want to get my dick tattooed, because, I mean, fuck, that's a decision in itself. But... this isn't like a Josh said, hey, I want to go walk into a fucking, you know, like walk into a tattoo shop and, you know, say, hey guys, I want to get my dick tattooed. How can I go about this? No, this is when Josh and John and I all lived together and we had a tattoo machine in the house. So we would play tattoo all the time.
Oh my God. Wait, did you just say you play tattoo with a real tattoo machine?
No, this is what we call it. Like, hey, let's play tattoo. But we have a tattoo machine in the house.
Oh my God. That's the best.
I have a bunch of terrible tattoos, like kind of in all sorts of different places, where it's like, oh, hey, we have a tattoo machine. We all have tattoos and we like tattoos. Let's fucking see if we could do it ourselves. Cause we're drinking. Tattooing is so hard to do.
Tell
you to start off. I don't care if you think you can draw. It's a whole different story. Like, even if you can draw well, it's a whole different story when you get into actually working with tattoo machine.
Yeah, there's anyway, no erasing. Like,
well,
that's
the, one, there's no erasing, but it's not like, you know, the difference between coloring with fucking pencil or drawing with fucking pencils and pens and markers. Like, there's a whole different side of it. You know, there's depth, there's fucking, you know, there's a lot to it.
Well,
anyway,
even regular art would be hard if the first thing you started drawing on was somebody's penis.
Exactly. So anyway, like at one point while I'm getting tattooed, like I know you guys have seen the it's actually the Alkaline Trio's logo, like up towards the top of my arm is a little black heart with a skull in it. While I was getting that tattooed by Josh, my best friend in the entire world, walks in. We're all hammered drunk, and he's just all, I didn't see a tattoo in my dick.
And of course you oblige him.
Now, well, no, John did. Like, I just watched and laughed. Now, John, like, he's just all, just do a little smiley face or something. And I don't know how the conversation started. He was out in the garage. He was hanging out with people. Anyway, he comes in, he's like, I didn't see a tattoo in my dick. And John's just like, fine, fair enough. Switches the needle out and just does a little fucking dot, dot line. And Josh took it. He's just all, that wasn't too fucking bad. That's fucking fine. No big deal. So then, as John and I sit there talking, we decide to kind of convince him a little bit more. We're just all, well, fuck it, dude. He wants to get his dick tattooed. Let's get his dick tattooed. So we decide that, like, a traditional sleeve is probably the best way.
Oh, my God, no.
So, you know, you're talking, like, traditional, you know, a certain tattoo style. You know, you're talking your fucking, your, the best way I can put it, nowadays, like the easiest way to put it is like Sailor Jerry type shit. You know, swallows, nautical stars, fucking martini glasses, pinup girls, that kind of shit. It's like traditional tattoo style, like old sailor tattoo style.
Yeah.
So we're like, dude, you should just get a traditional sleeve on your dick if you're gonna fucking get down. And we convince him to do it. So there's little tiny, like, he's got these little tiny fucking like stars and dots just for filler. And a little tiny bird and a little tiny anchor.
Oh my God. For people that don't
know. No, hold on. This is the worst part. Not only does he have his dick tattooed, he's got a fucking traditional sleeve on his dick. This was his own idea. This is why you don't fucking get, like, it's fine to drink while you're getting tattooed. I mean, it's not suggested, but, you know, you got to deal with how it hurts. You got to deal with it. It's not okay to be hammered drunk and then start requesting tattoos.
Yeah, that's bad.
Not only did he walk in, get a smiley face tattooed on his dick, then we convinced him it was a good idea to get, like, a traditional sleeve tattooed on his dick. So he's got a little tiny martini glass and, like, all that shit. Like, little teeny guys. But then he's just all, I want a hash mark on the bottom. Like, you know, you're fucking 1, 2, 3, 4, and then /5, like, hash marks.
Oh, no.
I want hash marks on the bottom of my dick for every girl I've slept with. It is literally on, like, tattooed on his penis. And now he has to answer for that all the time. I don't know how many times I've heard him be like, oh, dude, that was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. Not tattooing his dick. Not letting us convince him to tattoo more stuff on his dick. But for him to be like, oh, I want you to put 33 hash marks on the bottom of my penis.
Is it gay? Is it gay because I want to see that? I just don't believe it.
I've seen that thing so many times prior. It's my best friend, man. Like,
Well, if you go through all that trouble, you're going to be whipping it out at parties. You're going to be showing it to the neighbor.
I mean,
Nice to meet you.
I don't have any tattoos on my dick, but I do have a Prince Albert. I have my penis is pierced. Fuck, dude, for the first, 2 years I had that done, it was out all the time. I'm like, if I'm going to get a needle stab through this thing, I'm going to make it worth my while. And so I'd knock it on my friend's car windows, shit like that. But, yeah, Josh and his hash marks has been a serious problem in his love life. And so all I got to say is if you're going to have your fucking penis tattooed.
Do not put that on.
At least think it through first. You know, and when you like what you were talking about at the beginning of this, like the protocol, like who holds it kind of thing. It's like.
I think you've crossed the boundary at that point. Yeah, I don't think it matters. Does it matter? Like,
don't tell applies there, doesn't it?
No, your tattoo artist will always hold it.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Because if they're going to go as far as to tattoo your penis. Like, you know, they know they're getting paid extra for this, and they're just like, I'm going to desensitize myself to this whole ordeal, and this is just another tattoo. But, like, as an artist, you can't, like, let the dude that's getting tattooed hold it because he's going to be jolting all over the place and fucking, he's like, oh, fuck, that hurts, and just shaking like crazy. Like, you have to stretch the skin the way you need it to actually get the fucking picture across. So
You know what I love about heavy metal?
If you really want a dude to hold your penis?
You know what I love about heavy metal? Someone tweeted that as probably a joke, and we took 20 minutes to actually break it down and answer it with detailed and stories about it. That's right. You can't triple set. We got to answer that.
And I love the fact that it was asked by, you know, this question of all questions was asked by one of the most Mormon looking guys on Twitter. I mean, he's knocking at my door right now trying to give me a Bible. Meanwhile, we're telling dick tattoo stories.
That's so good, dude. He does look like a Bible salesman, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry, but I agree with Roboto's statement. Now, I don't know, like, this is a true skill of my testament of, like, you know, segue.
A true skill of my testament. Well,
let's say, man, that quarter bottle of Don Julio had to go to you somewhere tonight, so.
Attaboy!
It's a mystery, but in my true skill, so we're talking about cocks, so how the hell do I segue out of that? Well, you know, who's one of the biggest dicks in this?
Yeah, here's your segue. So, enough about cocks.
No. I had an actually really good segue, which was, you know, speaking of cocks, and we all know who the biggest dick in Star Wars is, George Lucas. Roboto, how is Star Wars selling?
Well, I love the fact that everybody has suddenly woken up and found this game, and it's just, like, on fire thanks to Jay Boosh and a bunch of others talking about it. And it seems like everyone who picks it up and plays it is just like, oh, this is the best game ever.
It does look cool. Like, I have to admit, I don't know what the skill level is to play it yet. I've never played it yet, but
it's really scalable. Like, it starts off with a really basic set of, like, a basic pamphlet that just folds out. Here's how you play. Sit down and play it. And then there's more advanced rules as you can add more things into it. But I mean, Kevy's played it now. I mean, all walks of life on Twitter have played this thing, and they're all, like, clamoring for more.
So here's the question.
I gotta say, Jay, like, is, you know, as much as he was joking about it, isn't lying. Like, Fantasy Flight Games, just send your check to Jay.Duharsky. Like, because, I mean, you look at just from, like, because I think that's the reason it got picked up is because Jay was talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's why I picked it up, and I was like, oh, I want to check this out. It's Star Wars. It's fucking, you know, a game. Sounds cool. Jay says it's awesome. And then I, you know, so outside of what it was already selling, like, for fuck's sakes, man, just me pushing it to other people, from Jay pushing it to other people, like, how much fucking it's blown up. It's crazy.
Okay, guys, I've got a question then. I mean, is this game like Warhammer except for it's Star Wars then?
I don't know. I haven't played Warhammer.
It's not Warhammer, because Warhammer is infinitely complex, and Warhammer is all about micromeasuring and all kinds of line of sight rules and stuff. This, like, first off, Fantasy Flight is the shit. That company makes the best of everything. Every game I've played of theirs, and I've played half a dozen, has just been awesome. But we dabbled in a bunch of flight games. There's a whole bunch of World War II type ones and whatever. With Star Wars, it looks like they took everything everybody was doing and improved it.
Hmm.
So the flight rules are awesome. They're very easy. The measuring system is very forgiving. It's the kind of game you can sit down with a bunch of buddies, have a few beers, fly around some Star Wars minis, and roll some dice for combat. It's really very simple. Although, you know, if you are, like, it seems like Jay Bush, his sort of meta, if you want to call that, for Star Wars is a little bit more, more micromanaging, you know, they like to really get into it and pick the best pilots and the best combinations of pilots and stuff. We're a little bit more relaxed where I play. We just pick the most ridiculous shit and crash ships into each other and asteroids and stuff. The last game I played last week. I mean, I was the first guy out because I was just a kamikaze fucker. I just flew right in and started trying to kill people and shit. We go there for the lulls and just have a lot of fun, right? Jay's is a little bit more competitive.
So what is, like, cause I'm like, okay, you guys like got me excited. Okay. Like, I'm hard now, but like, how much does it cost? Like, what am I looking at in an investment to start?
Well, there's a starter set.
The core set that I bought that I've been playing with, and it's the only one that I have, is fucking $40.
And what do you get? Do you get enough to play a game? Like, is with three people or more?
That's the first question that I asked Jay. Is like, I was all, hey man, I really want to play this fucking Star Wars game. It seems fucking interesting, but like, if I buy just the core set, is that going to be something that I'm going to be pissed off about? Like, oh no, this is one of those games where you have to buy like this, that, the other thing, and all this shit. And he's like, no, you can get started very. You can have a lot of fun with the core set. You can have a ton of fun with it, and you buy it. You sit down, you start playing, because they're like, you know, robots.
So how many people can play in a core set?
Two.
Okay, so it's two, and then you buy, like...
Technically, you could play more, because it comes with more than two ships. It comes with enough, I think it's four? Three.
The core set comes with one X-Wing and two TIE Fighters.
And two TIE Fighters. So technically, three people could play if you just divided up the miniatures.
Oh, that's cool. All right, well,
it's one of those things where like it goes from the most basic version of it. Like, I mean, when I rolled out the quick start guide to it, it was just you know what, take these other rules, take these things on the card and just disregard them. Like, this is the basics of the game. No, it really did. It says don't worry about these. Like, it's something like with the combat dice, I think, was like the specific part where it said it's all take any of these rolls, like any of these symbols, and just disregard them. Anything else, this is how combat works. Because it gives you a very basic start to it, just to get how movement goes and how combat goes and the turn sequence goes. It's kind of like, you know, playing fucking like Duels of the Planeswalkers. It very easily teaches you the shit. And then it says, then you break out the actual rules. And it's like, okay, now that you know that, now here's what you add to it. And then, you know. You can go
basically, you can open up a starter and be playing in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's that simple. You put together a couple of and really you're just putting the ship on the base, and you just set it down, roll some dice, and get going. And honestly, the quality of the miniatures is high. The Millennium Falcon. I would buy that just to own the miniature.
Well, that's what I'm scared. Like, honestly, I was always big into miniatures and like figures and that. Like, I'm scared if I buy one and it looks badass, I'm like, yeah, I just want a set for my office just to stick my.
No, I'm kidding.
The thing is, like,
add-on
ships are only like 12 or 15 bucks.
Oh, okay. I thought there were way more.
It depends on the ship, because you got like, it's $40 for the starter, but then like the little like insert. This is the other thing. The insert that comes in it, that's just like, you know, the advertisement. That's like, these are all the other ships that are available. You know, they're essentially like booster packs. You know, because you don't just get the ship. You get like, you get extra pilot cards and stuff like that.
Okay.
Fucking abilities that you can add to the game, but that each ship you get, depending on, it seems to me there's like two basic like classes of ship. You know, you got, yeah, you know, if you want to buy more fucking, you know, TIE fighters, you want to buy this and that, like those ones are like fucking $15 ish.
Gotcha.
And then when you want to buy like the Millennium Falcon or the Slave One, that are
they're
fucking
gonna juice you.
But then you hit like they're like $30 for those.
Because those are the large form ships. Mm-hmm. Like they're
significantly bigger than the other ones. And,
right.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Bigger than,
gotcha.
They're bigger than the other ships and stuff like that. So, like, but that's all you have. You have, like, fucking, you have, like, the 15 mark and the, like, the 30 mark-ish.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
So is it like $1,000 for a Star Destroyer?
No. They don't even exist.
Jay said it best, because they're scale minis. If you have the TIE fighters at the scale that they're at, if you were to buy a Star Destroyer, if you were to have a Star Destroyer, it would be bigger than your table.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wouldn't that be epic?
I'd probably buy one.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I feel like that's what I want to do with fucking, like, eventually, like, when I win the lottery. Or, like, I'm just going to have a fucking, like, a scale model of a Star Destroyer fucking, like, made for me, and then just playing the top of it, and that'll be the fucking game board.
Dude, that'd be epic.
All right, well, here's a question for you guys, though. Is
the game,
how much would a competitive, like, army cost you, then?
No, you do it in squadrons. See, that's the difference. Like, and
I've never... a competitive squadron, sorry.
Probably $100-$200.
I mean, there's only four add-on ships right now, and three more coming in September. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, but so
okay. So
I mean,
basically, you have the entirety, basically, of what's out there for under $300 is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, you could buy one of everything and be easily, including the starter, and be under $300.
Yeah.
So it's way cheaper than Magic.
You could buy everything that's been made for it for less than a standard deck.
Very hard to find in a lot of places, because it just sells out as fast as they get it in.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding. I can't find any of it. So yeah. I gotta dig deeper and find some of the miniature stores. I know we used to have a Warhammer store up here, so I wonder if they're carrying it.
Maddie, I would suggest just fucking at least fucking popping on, like, you know, popping on Amazon or something like that, and just buying a core set.
Oh, is it on Amazon? I'll buy it if it's on Amazon.
You can buy it anywhere on the fucking internet. Like, availability sucks, but like you can still find it on the internet. Just fucking
Amazon.
Buy a fucking core set and fucking sit down and check it out, because literally it'll take you fucking like 10 minutes to figure out the basics of the game. And then, like what I did, the first time I sat down by myself with it and figured out the basics of the game, then my buddy, you know, Blackwing Seraph from across the street came over. And, like, he's one of those dudes that plays fucking a lot of tabletop games. And I was just like, I figured I'd have you come over and help me out with this, because I've never really got into tabletop games or anything. And he's just like, oh, yeah, this is cool. Oh, wait, this gets a little bit confusing when you get into the real rules. And then he starts looking through them. He's like, oh, wait, no, it doesn't. Never mind. He's like, this is fucking simple. He's like, this is actually really cool. And, like, this is, like, my extent of fucking knowledge with fucking tabletop games. Like, I know nothing about them. But dude, like, plays them all the time. And he's just like, this actually seems kind of complicated. And then he starts looking through the rules again. He's like, oh, wait, no, it's not. This is all you have to do. It's very easy to get into and very easy to fucking understand. And
sweet.
It's a lot of fun.
It's super slick, and I know even your kids will probably like it, Maddie. I mean, they're
Star Wars. That was the whole point. I wanted to see if the kids would be able to pick it up. So that's cool. I'm gonna try and pick it up.
If kids can handle Magic, then they can handle this, no problem.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what I was thinking too, right? So
even if you only use the basic quick start rules with them, it's still fun. We played many, many weeks off the quick start rules alone, as just a bunch of adults sitting around playing it.
Yeah.
Sweet. It's in. Now,
my favorite part about it is just the movement template. The fact that, like, instead of having to measure shit out and do this and that, like, they literally have, like, the box, the core set comes with all these templates. It's like, if you want to move two and a soft turn to the left, you've got this template. If you want to move two and a hard turn to the left, you have this template.
Oh, sweet.
And it literally, like, the base of it has two little fucking, like, nipples sticking out that the template fits right between, so you can't fuck it up. And all you have to do is put the template in front of it, put your finger on it, and then put your template on it, or put the base of your piece on the other end of the template, and that's exactly how you move. It's fucking done and done. There's no discrepancies. There's no
no arguing it over it. Yeah. Easy for kids and easy for drunks.
Yep.
There you go.
That's my favorite part about it. It's like, it's easy to play while you're drunk.
When is the Booze Cube going to make an alternate version of this game? Come on, Booze Cube. Do it, man. I don't know what it would be, but it sounds fucking epic. Now, we got to shout out Robot because he, what was it? The Kajudo tournament that you Wizards came down and filmed your store?
Manny, I'm so proud of you. You, when it actually mattered, you said Kajudo instead of Kajujo.
Oh, did I? Because I'm drunk. Now I'm just slurring into the correct verb.
No, when Maddie gets drunk, he pronounces it right. It's fucking awesome.
You know what's funny? I do have, like, slight dyslexia. Like, I've always suffered from that as a kid. And, like, it's true. When I get drunk, some of it goes away, and I tend to speak better.
And you're just all, the Kaijudo tournament you were talking about. Like, if you were sober, you'd be like, Kajujo, whatever the fuck that game.
Kajujio, what is that piece of shit? Yeah, like, what happened with that? Like, I was curious to hear about it.
So, what happened was the Wizards of the Coast sent a team of the Kaijudo people, one of the head designers, a media guy, a bunch of really nice guys came up from Wizards, and they brought a film crew from Vancouver along with them to film what they call a trade video at the store. They want to apparently, we didn't know this, but for quite some time they've been secretly following what we've been doing at the store, really interested in how we've been able to tap into so many young people as a market. It's really landed us on their radar. The other day we were adding up the DCI numbers that we've added since Kaijudo has existed, and it came out to like 220 or 250 DCI numbers that we've added, and those are almost exclusively young people. So like on an average Saturday we get like 50 kids showing up for Kaijudo, and
wow.
It's crazy. It's just been explosive, and so they're trying to figure out, okay, what you guys got the secret sauce, you know, what's going on here? You know, we need to be able to spread this around to other stores. Yeah, like we want all the stores to have this. And so they sent this crew up. They apparently they sat at a meeting with the Hasbro bigwigs to pitch this trade plan, and they said they wanted to come up to this little tiny city in Canada, and the, apparently the Hasbro guys said to them, well, do you have a backup? And they said, nope, it's either that place or no, we're not going anywhere else. So they got permission to come up and spent about 3 days with us. And what we did is we hosted a big Kaijudo event just because they wanted to be able to get in-action film, and they wanted to interview the players and the staff and stuff. So we put the word out that we were hosting an event and that Wizards of the Coast would be there. And next thing you know, we have 110 players playing at the store, plus film crew, plus parents, plus staff. I mean, it was crazy. There was probably 150 people easily in the store, which should only be holding like 70.
Surprise. Fire codes.
Well, we were laughing about how, man, I hope the fire marshal doesn't find out. But then we were laughing extra hard because his kid actually plays Kaijudo. So
there you go.
He actually showed up at one point.
He was actually there.
Yeah. So, but
he's not going to look the other way for this
they
one.
Put this thing together. There's a little teaser out there that we did get a chance to see, and it looks really pro. But
where?
I'll link it to you guys. We'll put it in the show notes so everybody can have a look at it. It's a little like 45 seconds.
I remember seeing that. I don't remember what part, like maybe it was the last time you were on, but like I remember
this was a couple weeks ago. I think I posted the link to it in Twitter, but it's been great, and apparently the video's done. They're showing it at Gen Con. Today was trade day there, where all the store owners get in early, and so I guess they were showing off the video, and Helene Bergeau tweeted me this morning saying that she was happy to see me in the video, so apparently I'm in it.
Cool.
We'll see. I did give an interview, and they spent a lot of time with the store owner because, of course, you know, it's his it's his show, and one of the head R&D guys for Kaijudo, Ryan Miller, who's actually worked on a lot of Magic as well. He worked on M13 and some previous sets as well. Sat down with this guy for like an hour and just interviewed him about, you know, what we do there and just the, you know, the attitude of building a community and how other places can tap into this, the secret, you know, stash of kids, you know. Well, the big thing for stores is that when you do that, I mean, when you think about bringing in even, you know, round it off and say 100 kids to your store, those are new customers, Like, you're not recycling magic guys who just decided to play Kaijudo, and the store doesn't really gain, there's no net gain there, right? Like, you're just shifting money from one hand to the other. These are new customers, and these kids are buying so much product, it's not even funny. Like, this week was the week that the store, the owner was telling me, this is the week that Kaijudo outsold Magic.
Whoa! There's a fucking landmark for you.
So, I mean, he's bringing this product in as fast as he can, and because Kaijudo is so new, they're actually printing less of it than Magic sets. So it's very hard to get some of the product, and he's just constantly on the phone, phoning other stores where maybe they don't have it, and they're just, you know, it's dying on the shelf, and they're just desperate to get away, you know, to sell it.
Do you find that the kids move, like, graduate up the chain, like, from Kaijudo to Magic? Or do you find they're just, they play Kaijudo, they have their experience, and then they bail?
It's a little early to tell, and we had a conversation around the store about that. It's like, okay, well, let's start looking down the road. What can we do to have exactly that happen? Like, we want these guys as they age to progress into Magic so you don't lose them as a customer. And also, you know, it's in my best interest as the main Magic guy. Like, I want more Magic players.
Yeah.
And we hadn't really finished that conversation because it was so new, but we've already had maybe 6 to 12 people just start asking questions. It's like, hey, what are you guys doing over there? You know, playing Magic. So it seems like it may self-populate just on its own.
Well, you know what I would do? You know what I would do would be brilliant. You have a big Kaijudo night, and then, you know, as that night is winding down, you schedule a Magic F&M or something so that as the kids are leaving their Kaijudo tournament, the Magic one is starting. So you'd be like, wow, what's going on over there? That looks cool. Like, I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, we're talking about stuff like that. We're talking about, like,
just giving out Magic M14 booster packs and prize packs for the never mind. Sorry, don't use M14 packs because we
that was one of the first things we thought of. Is we can
adding
packs of Magic to the prize pool, right? And kids will pick what they pick, and eventually someone's going to pick it. The other thing is that, like, in September, the Wizards always, once a year, puts on the Magic Celebration Day. It's a free event that you show up to the LGSs and play. So we've actually kicked it up a notch and turned it into a Wizard Celebration Day because we're going to do Dungeons & Dragons and Kaijudo and Magic. So it's a place to have it all in one place. So now the kids will sort of be able to get a look at what's going on in the Magic as well.
God, I wish I lived.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like Wizards wants to, like, know what the secret sauce is and comes up to your fucking store to come, like, film the shit. But I mean, for fuck's sake, that's it. Like, your store is just, like, amazing. Well, like, you guys go out there and do that shit. Like, you know,
Roboto
is the secret sauce.
Well, there's a handful of us, right? There's the two store owners, and there's, like, myself and two other guys that are really sort of the nexus of all of this. Mm-hmm. And the store owner is smart enough that he's tapped
into... Shout that guy out, man. Shout the name of the store.
His name is Rob Gruber, and the store is Good Times Games and Electronics, and it's Rob Gruber and Chris Johnson. They both own the store, and they're smart enough to tap into the guys around them, right? They have friends that are eager to help out because we all like to help our friends, and I want the store to thrive because I just want a place to hang out and play, and I don't want it to fail.
Exactly.
And so I don't mind volunteering some of my time, especially when it's with kids, because I kind of have a soft spot there for volunteering with kids. But
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's really just a matter of just giving a shit, right? Just treating people like they're more than customers. Like, you know, when one of those kids walks in to buy some packs, he's greeted like Norm from Cheers, man. It's like, hey, you know, Ryan, how's it going? How's your day? You know, when he opens his pack, we're right there. You know, everyone's around him. He's like, oh, dude, you just opened that awesome creature. Oh, good for you. You know, high five.
That's what I miss. You know, like when I was going to the store downtown, exactly. You know, Excalibur Comics, like, when I used to go there, like, that's why I went for 20 years to that store, and I was so sad the day he closed, like, I was, like, almost in tears. I was like, fuck, like, I love, like, you walk in the door, it was a little hole in the wall, 10 feet by 10 feet, it was just shit. It was like, there was no room to move, but everybody knew my name. What's up, man? What are you buying? What are you, like, it was, like, awesome. And, like, every other store I've ever been in, except for maybe, like, Sketchbook, he's pretty cool. But, like, other stores, like, it's just, like, you're just the fucking, like, going to the Bay or you're going to fucking, like, Home Depot.
You know, they barely look up from behind the counter when you walk in.
You want to buy something? No. Okay, fuck off.
Fuck off. Yeah, that's exactly
no
it.
Chat. No, even, like, investment. Or the worst thing is I get here in Oakville. This is, like, I'm sorry, guys. I gotta fucking say it. But, like, if I buy a box of cards or something, like, if I buy something, then the next time I walk in, it's like, hey, do you want to buy more of that? Like, that is not the first fucking word out of your mouth. Like, hey, you're just a bunch of money, you know, in your pocket. Can I buy you something? Like, come on, man. You're not even going to, like, and then I try to shoot the shit or talk, and it's just like, yeah.
See, that's something to be said for, like, you know, when like, stores that are, like, that are plugged into what's going on. Like, I've said a million times, like, my store's not, like, they're not plugged into the Magic community. They're not one of us that, like, gets what's going on. Like, they're not stupid. They're a business, and they know that, like, you know, From the Vault 20 is going to cost more on the black market than it is, like, MSRP. But, you know, they've said, like, you know, hey, we're not doing that. We're not price gouging. We're not doing anything like that. We're just going to sell it for MSRP for what we get it for. Cool. All right. Done and done. But I have, like, Barb, this chick that works at the fucking store. Barb is, like, fucking ass 100 years, like, she went to high school with Jesus. Barb is the fucking sweetest older lady I've ever fucking met. She's awesome. But here's the, like, that's the thing. Like, I walk into the store and she's like, oh, hey, Kevin, how's it going? And then she proceeds to start talking to me about, like, what my podcast has been doing. Although she's never heard it before. Like, she's never listened to the podcast before. She's not plugged into the Magic community in the sense that we are. Like, she's just like, how's the podcast doing? Because I have told her about our podcast. She is the girl that she has been collecting Magic cards. She doesn't play rarely at all. Like, I don't think she even plays at all anymore. But she owns a Black Lotus. She, you know, like, she has been one of those collectors since the game started. And she's one of those people that, like, sadly, she's leaving. Her husband is retiring from his job on the base that's near here. And they're moving up to Oregon. She's leaving in, like, the next 2-3 weeks. And, like, the last time I went and talked to her, like, we were talking about that. Like, she's like, how's the podcast doing? You guys, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I talk about you guys all the time on the podcast. Like, sometimes good, sometimes bad, whatever. But we got into the conversation about, you know, like, their practices in business. Like, they aren't involved in the Magic community like we are. They don't know what it is to be like, From the Vault 20, like, that shit's gonna be crazy because Jace is in it and fucking we need to mark this shit up. Like, there's, like, the owners have nothing to do with Magic. And
but you know what? See, that's the biggest problem. Like, if I was running a store, like, you hire, I hate to compare it to, like, roller hockey, but, like, when I was in roller hockey, the store owner, Frenzo's, he was smart enough to realize, like, this guy fucking, every time he's coming to the store, he knows every goddamn thing about roller
hockey. My brother-in-law, that's what that whole story was about. My brother-in-law, Daniel, lives at home, isn't working right now. I was just all, dude, Barb
sign that
is
motherfucker
leaving.
Up.
Barb is leaving. You need to go in and fucking wreck shop and get a job. Like, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do this.
Yes.
Because that's what my store needs, is somebody, like, not somebody that's going to, like, be plugged into the Magic community and be like, oh, sweet, and then we could make this much more money off of these fucking From the Vault sets. But somebody that actually knows what Magic is doing aside from,
it's passion. It's passion. Yeah. Like, the greatest thing, like, when I was playing roller hockey and, you know, semi-pro there, the owner he'd give me whatever I want for free because he was like, do you realize how, it's like Jay Bush, right? It's like, when you talk about roller hockey, people buy anything. Like, if you say Mission Skates are the best, 3 people come in that day and buy Mission Skates. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm passionate about it. I love it. And I talk about it. And it's like, That's what store owners, you know, don't hire your brother who fucking types on the internet and is like watching porn. You know, like, hello, like, hire a kid, hire a fucking young guy that's like passionate about the game, that loves the game, because his influence and his love of that game will spread to your customers. You know,
well, and from, don't hire, from don't Robot's hire example, the local.
Hire the people that like Kaijudo from Robots.
Don't hire the local neckbeard to work there. Right. I mean, the guy's barely social as it is. He only gets out of the house.
No, you have to.
That's positive. Yeah. That's who these guys
are. The guy that we have that runs our tournaments is that guy. Like, he's a great dude. He's a very nice guy. But he is the most socially awkward person I've ever met in my life.
Like, yeah, that's not cool. Yeah, you can't.
He's in his late 40s. He knows. For them, it was a good fucking hire. Like, the last guy that left, they're like, okay, we need to hire some guy to replace this guy. And the guy that they replaced was just one of those guys that had no social skills whatsoever. He's just a dick. He just didn't know how to talk to anybody. So they're like, okay, let's hire Olaf. Olaf is the guy that, like...
Olaf.
No, his name is Olaf, but he's not like...
No, you're lying. Is it Olaf?
I swear to Christ, his name is Olaf. Okay. He's not Russian.
His name is Olaf. Oh, I feel so sorry for you.
His name is Olaf. He is a straight up normal American person, but his name happens to be Olaf. He's a tall, skinny fucking super nerd that like he's a great guy, but he doesn't have any sort of social skills whatsoever. Like we walk in. And I walk in and I'm like, oh, hey, Olaf, what's going on? I'm checking out with the set. What's going on? What's doing this? What's doing that? And he's just all, he knows fucking, like, tabletop games. He knows fucking this and that. Like, he knows how to play what's that fucking, oh, god damn it.
It's not important to the Olaf story, trust me.
Anyway, so he's super fucking tabletop guy. He knows everything, game in, game out, fucking sure. Whatever. So I walk in, he's just like, hey, man, what's going on? I'm just like, I was checking out, see what your prices are, see what this and that. And he's just all, hey, so I have a question. So what do you think about, like, scavenging ooze? You know, like, what do you think about what's going on? I'm just like, no, dude, leave me alone. No, I know nothing about what scavenging ooze is doing. what he's like, no, that's not what I'm getting at. He's all, do you think it's a good card?
No.
I don't want to fucking talk to you. So this is the last guy that they replaced, a guy that left, who was a douchebag too. So now I'm trying to get Daniel in there and let Daniel fucking do his thing and be an actual Magic player.
Well, get him in there, man. Like, you have to. I've talked to several people that I know. I'm like, there's so many people I know in the community that if they were just given a chance, and, you know, it's not like run my store for me. It's just you're there. Maybe you're making a minimum wage. Maybe you're just paying them in cards. Like,
be the person that knows what the fuck they're talking about.
But but it's just someone who loves the game. Because I'm telling you, store owners, like, the biggest thing you do is you make it this, like, scary, not inviting place to be. And then
figure you can't get kids to show up.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, you're not a kid-friendly environment. They're not going to show up. No parent is going to walk in there and say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to turn my kid over for the next 4 hours and let them play here. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, that's the big thing. Like, you know, we harp on it a bit too much, but it's just such a simple solution, man. It's, God, you just want it to be simple.
Well,
but
the simple solution is just send all your kids to Prince Rupert. Hey, Robot, I've got a son. He's 2.5 years old, and he has
a plane ticket.
he's very, very recently he's turned into my son. Like, he's shown like he's all, I'm a dick. I have an attitude. I have a fucking an attitude problem that my dad gave to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ship him up to Prince Rupert because he's allowed in Canada. And be like, oh, hey, man, teach him Kaijudo, teach him magic,
and then
ship him back to me in, like, fucking...
When he's all better.
3 years.
Yeah.
Well, not when he's all better. Just ship him back to me in 2-3 years. At least give him some fucking robot large, fucking amazing... Like, this guy's like a parent to everybody that comes into the shop.
Yeah, he's a fucking cool dude, man. Like,
Yeah, I would, and then send him back to me, and I'll be like, oh, all right, well, now he's a good kid.
And the beautiful thing is that it doesn't matter what your kids are playing, right? I mean, Kaijudo caught on here.
Yeah,
with the kids.
Who cares?
It's aimed at them. It's clearly marketed towards them. They love it. But, I mean, Maddie's kids are playing Magic. It doesn't matter what they're playing. And you can replicate this on a small scale just with your kids and their friends. I mean, that's how it started at the store, right? It's just people took the product home. And we're playing it, and their friend says, hey, shit, I really like that. I'm going to start playing that. And then they, you know, it's like that commercial and so on and so on and so on. I mean, it just spools out from there.
I tell you, you hit it right in the head. The secret sauce, Wizards, is exactly that. When I was a kid, how did I get in comics?
We cannot stop interrupting robots.
I know. I told him, but he's like, what did you invite me on for, you fuckers? But like when I was a kid just showed up at recess. He like went over to the comic book store and he came back. I'm like, what the fuck are you reading there? He's like, comics, man. The lady gave me one for free. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, what? And that's how it starts. You know, like, well,
and Wizards is pretty smart with Kaijudo because they have those same giveaway free decks like they do for Magic. Only in Kaijudo, they actually are playable decks.
They're actually
good. Like, they're not like pro level decks, but you can sit down and win a game playing that. Not like the Magic ones. I don't know what retard is making those things. But, you could close your eyes and shuffle a whole bunch of cards together and come up with a better deck than those things are. The Kaijudo ones are awesome. Like, we give away probably more than any other store in the whole North America where Kaijudo exists. Like, we've got a standing order with WotC that we can order as many of those decks as we want.
No way. Does it cost money to order them?
No, they're free. Oh, you get a whole case of them, like you get a box of them for free.
Most right, well,
get 1 cent of them.
I'm gonna request Roboto.
Hold on, wait, you can't interrupt. I'm a terrible Magic player. Because I don't like to think past fucking turn five, and I don't like, I'm an aggro, but I just need to fucking just turn into a Kaijudo player.
Well, Maddie, when I send you the ooze, I'll send you a couple of these decks.
I was going to say, invite the evil, horrid, evil thing of Kaijudo into my house.
There it is.
Yeah,
the beauty for you is they just announced, like they hold what we would call a PTQ. They call it KMC, a Kaijudo Master Challenge. We just got the announcement that there's a winter KMCs are coming out, and we're the only store who got one for the second time in a row. Which is awesome for us. I noticed when I looked on the list that Ontario has got one, like Harry T. North has got one.
Oh, no way. Harry T's got one? That's cool.
Yeah. And the winner of that tournament wins a free ticket to the championships.
What?
Wherever they are.
KYT on the net.
KYT, there. You could take that down. That's awesome, man.
They haven't announced where the championship will be. This last one just finished up in Seattle, and they went down there and played. They did a big – everybody that – like first place wins a airfare and an entry into the championship. Second place just gets your entry, and they hold a big, massive tournament, and it was just actually just a week or so ago. In Seattle,
first place gets a Corvette. Second place,
it was really fun for the younger players.
And everybody starts questioning why they keep playing Magic.
Well, all the people that went down there for the tournament, they got to spend a whole day before the tournament in a hotel, like a ballroom type thing, sitting down with R&D, getting to design cards. That was part of the prize
That's so fucking cool.
So they all broke into two groups. They all designed cards that will show up in future sets. The Rob Gruber and one of the other players from our area went down there and they wanted Rob to come down anyway just to sort of further pick his brain and introduce him to some of the Hasbro bigwigs. And they got like a special tour of Hasbro or WotC headquarters. Like they had to sign non-disclosure agreements and there's all kinds of shit that they can't even tell me. Those crazy fuckers. And I'm super jealous because I didn't get to go. So, it was a great, great thing. So yeah, there's one at Harry T. North coming up in October sometime.
That's cool. Fucking awesome shit, man.
The game itself is fun. I'll send a couple of the starter deck things to you so your kids can take a look at it. If they're into Magic, they may not take the Kaijudo right away, but
Oh no, they like honestly, like I said before, like their friends play Pokemon and they're just, you know, like I said last episode, they're like, oh wow, you can actually play a game with these cards because they collected them for their shiny looks, and they're like, oh yeah, you play a game.
Well, and that's the beauty of Kaijudo is their foils.
Oh yeah,
sick.
They did. Like, dude, I was in the comic store and they were looking. They're like, what are those? I'm like, we're not buying any of those. Get away from those. But
their
I know
foils are even better than the cool. Vault foils.
They were fucking cool. Even I was like, damn, that's some cool fucking process. But
their foiling process is awesome, and they don't curl up like paper chips or.
Well, why can't they get that right on Magic cards?
I have no idea. They need to learn from Kaijudo, I'm telling you. But it's really marketed towards the kids because it's very bright artwork, lots of crazy creatures, crazy effects. Like, you know, it's pretty awesome.
That's sweet, man.
Yeah.
It's the way to do it, man. For sure.
Oh, you know why their foils don't curl up?
Why?
It's because you guys are in Canada.
No, no. Dude,
you might actually have a point there.
I live on the West Coast, man. I can see foils where I'm sitting here that are, you know, potato chipped.
Hey, oh, fuck that. I live in Southern California.
No, we can't beat that.
Mine curl up when they get to me in the mail.
Yeah, I was about to say, unfortunately, a few of the foils I sent to Kevy had exactly that happen.
Yeah. They curl up, they do all sorts of fucked up shit. And just from being, like, it's because I live in the desert of California.
Well, gentlemen, is there any shout-outs we have for this evening? Anyone we want to give a special shout-out to besides Kraken Jack? Because we are
I got a very important one.
Mm-hmm.
Robot Large.
Oh, whatever. we've been shitty shouting.
Well,
we gotta remember Proxy Guy.
What now? We gotta fucking remember him. Since when did he get this status?
Well, you know, he got the status since when he starts getting special missions from like Evan Irwin and shit.
That's true. Yeah, he's getting pretty high up there. But I'm not giving you a fucking shout out yet, bitch.
Gotta keep it real.
Fine. How about this? Let's go with Heather then.
Yeah. Well, fuck. She can have as many shout outs as she wants. She showed.
Booby shirts.
Hashtag I'm not fucking her. Hashtag whatever it was.
Oh man.
Last episode.
Oh, okay, Kevin. So does that mean Girl on Nerds is not safe from you?
Girl on Nerds is fucking cool, man.
She is awesome. I'm not.
I don't know
her.
How I wasn't following her until recently. Yeah, and I'm just like, how am I not following her?
You know what's funny? It's like hashtag I'm not sexually, you know, harassing you or anything. But like a lot of the girls like that are coming on now, like I think that's awesome. Like that's really good. Like it's cool shit, man. More to merrier, and they're all funny chicks, man. They can shoot shit with the
and
best.
I'm not
of
gonna us. Lie, like she's hot as shit too.
Wow, there you go. There's always that benefit.
I'm just happy to see more of the women coming out and, you know, making a statement. I mean, yeah. Enough of this sausage fest. We need a few more around.
That's right. We need some
I hear you say that, Robot, but your Skype avatar is just a big fucking robot of you standing there with a fucking big crane wiener just fucking stretched up out into the distance, and it's just like, oh, we need less of this sausage.
I got lots
standing there like a stout, proud robot.
Kevy, there's a city. There's a little city somewhere that just...
There's a city, the city of sin is Las Vegas, and that's probably where I will end up laying my eternal soul. But there's a city out there.
I've heard of it.
I'm already drunk.
that is up there with the worst ever. That's even worse than Jason Alts. That's amazing.
You snapped me right back into reality. Jason, I love you, but I will never be right up there with you.
Yeah.
Because that's just, it's like an insult.
It is. It is very true. Although, we did forget, sorry, KYT, he's having the Mana to Prime Super Series. Kyle will have this up Friday, so if you're listening to it right when it comes out, check out the, I don't know where it is, but check out the website.
Okay, go into your browser and go Magic Canada. Yes. And it'll show up. Like,
Magic Canada.
I mean, you gotta support this tournament, right? Like, I mean, the dude's running his own friggin' series of tournaments in Canada. Yeah. How can KYT and those guys not be awesome for that?
No, it's cool shit. I mean, no, they're all telling me I gotta go, but I'm like, fuck, I got so much shit to do. But I'm gonna try, so maybe I'll swing by on Saturday, see what's going down.
You should fucking do it, asshole, man.
Dude, I know.
I'm going to Oakland to play music and be there for the Oakland is like 5 hours away.
That's sick, dude.
Like, I'm doing that the weekend after next. Like, I'm going to Oakland to go hang out with fucking Sign and Blood, Scott, and fucking Marcel. And
yeah, but you've got to remember, you're doing your band thing, and if you plan to be in a band that plans to be successful, your ass has got to get used to traveling.
No,
that's right.
We're used to traveling. That's what we do. Now, we are doing this shit pro bono. Like, I've been in this band for a long time. We've gone through the whole, like, yeah, I got to get used to traveling.
Oh, you know damn well you're going to get paid in booze.
And then you get to the point where you're just like, okay, I'm used to traveling, but we get paid for this. And then you get used to like, all right, this is a homie. So we're going to go up and we're going to go play and we're not going to get paid for it. So like, we literally have to fucking like load all of us up, drive up to Oakland, pay for a hotel room because we can't do this the wrong way. Like, we're not going to go up Saturday and come back Saturday. Like, we're going up there Friday, we're gonna hang out, have a good time. Then Saturday, I'm gonna be on site I would say all day, but that's a lie. I'll be on site.
There's a reason it's called O2 Drop.
The day, yeah.
No, Kevy, sorry, but to interrupt you, but like, you have to do something for Ninja Dave. He's requested that you pilot a blue white pure control deck that he will give you, but you can't drop. You have to pilot the full 9 rounds.
I am not going to be able to be there in time for the fucking tournament. Like, I'm not kidding.
So it is impossible then for you to do that. It won't happen.
Flat out impossible. I will maybe show up at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. When I say most of the day, I mean like I'm gonna show up at 4 o'clock
for an hour.
All I know is if somebody starts to fund for Kevy's dick tattoo, let me know.
No. No.
Robot, is that your shout out to my penis?
No, my shout out is I got a shout out to Kelvin from Twitter because he was the first one to fire off
Kelvin Mike,
hey, you should put Roboto on the cast. So shout out to that guy because he's awesome.
Yeah,
huge shout out to that guy too because he tried to organize like a fucking heavy meta Southern California SVU beach day.
Did you show up to that?
No, I didn't. I
didn't.
Like,
I
live like 3 hours from the fucking beach that he was talking about. I was like, oh man, dude, there's no fucking way I can make it. Like, I feel like it was a fucking bust. I don't know. I don't know who actually showed up there, but like, he's just like, hey, let's all show up for a fucking, you know, a beach party thing. And then when I got the news, like, this is where we're going, this is the day, I was just like, yeah, dude, there's no way I can make it there. It's not like I live in Southern California, like LA, where I can be like, oh, everywhere is 45 minutes. Like, that's like 3 hours away. And I was just like, dude, I can't. Like, I've got shit going on. But I have to give him a huge amount of credit for organizing shit and trying to get everybody together to go hang out at the beach.
Well, hell yeah. I mean, that's what I've been trying to get everyone in the SVU to do is to step up and try and organize stuff like this. You know, let's make this community better. Let's make it thriving. Let's make it the place to be that everybody wants to be a part of it. And we can all take a little chunk of that.
Let's be honest. Like, the SVU community, like, okay, so we had this podcast called Heavy Meta, and then we started yelling and cursing at WotC and drinking the whole time. And then it turned into this thing where, like, you guys all found each other by being fans of this podcast, and then you guys took it way further than we could ever be. Because, I mean, like, Robot, you know us. You've worked with us.
Like, yeah, you've been part of corporation long enough. Yeah.
We are lazy motherfuckers.
That's so not true.
Good idea. Like, and you're like, hey, I want to have this popper tournament. We're like, Fair enough. Do it.
we're not talking arbitrative. We're not talking about that.
What I'm saying is, like, you know, he's just like, I have this good idea. This will bring fucking people into the, you know, it, you know, bring people in, bring fans in. Let's all come together. We're like, fair enough. Do it. All right. We're
going to go. Hey, Kevin. Just wondering, have you ever handed off the guild yet, or the clan?
No. Still haven't.
Oh, man.
So, there you go. Point in hand of being lazy.
I have not logged on to Modo since then.
You liar.
I have not logged on to Modo since then. But I mean, that's what I'm getting at is, like, Mike, you are the guy that fucking pushes this behind the scene. You are one of the guys, like the heavy metal SVU. I don't want to miss anybody, but we got fucking Mildivane. We got fucking Slick Jagger.
Oh my god, no, stop! You can't list them all because you're gonna forget like 80 of them, and they're gonna be fucking pissed off. You can't do that.
Somebody's already keeping track now. All right, one more for Joe, one more for Slick.
But you're the
Ginger Flying.
Yeah, oh, Luke, fucking Steven. You can't do that.
You're the one that, like, just like we've talked about through this whole fucking episode. Well, okay, sorry, not the whole episode, like the last 30 minutes of the episode. Of, like, how good you are with your community. How good you are at, like,
yeah, he's the one, he's the correct decision. Like,
he's the guy that fucking makes it happen.
And this is why all of a sudden we have this thing.
Like, we have three drunks that do a podcast every week.
This is
and then when you guys ask us for favors, we're just all, we'll get there.
No, that's lies. That's lies.
But this is why the SBU will be more than anything that we've seen before.
Kevy, you are the fucking clever. You know what? I must say, like, a shout out to Kevy and the ability to, like, if someone tries to get in on you, you just don't stop talking.
No,
you're like,
no,
oh, motherfucker,
no.
You're not gonna, I'm just gonna keep fucking talking, and then I'm gonna end my point, I'm just gonna keep talking because I'm not gonna let one half second of dead air exist so you can get in. And I fucking just love you for that, bro.
No.
But I mean, that's what I want for the SVU. I mean, I want it to build as a community, to do more things. And we've got more things coming. Obviously, we've talked about this Pauper tournament forever. My problem is that other projects keep getting in the way of it, and that's just life. But that's why I want to build up the Google Plus community. And for those that haven't heard of it, I thought I would make sure I mentioned
plug
it.
That
shit. There is a Google Plus community. So you have to go on Google Plus, and you have to speak heavy meta.
I believe that's part of our KYT contract that we have to mention Google Plus every week.
I mean, I started it there because that's what KYT, you know, has been trying to push Google Plus, but it's also a place where we can just make a home, and there's 30, 40 members in there already. And I want people to, you know, when you do well at a tournament, I want people to post there. You know, your kid takes a crap on the potty for the first time, put it in there. You know, let's get it all in there. We're a community, man. We want to
just
hear
no pictures, please.
Yeah, man, well,
don't tell me that. I'd be like, oh, I peed in the potty.
Yeah, let's hear it. Man. It's all
for Kevy to get it in the potty and not all over the seat and the floor when he's this drug. That's a challenge. So.
Yeah. So that's the future. I want people to know that. That's why, you know, when I do put the final touches on this Pauper tournament, I'm only going to announce it in the community, in the Google Plus community. It's not going anywhere else. The details will be there. It's meant to be for the SVU. It's something special for them. It's not going to be open essentially to the world. I don't want 1,000 people showing up to this thing.
Right.
I'd rather there be 18 close friends than, you know, 50 people who are just there to take
some
money.
Now, to be fair, like, it is open to like, whoever wants to join.
Dude, anybody can say they're the SVU. It's not like we have a secret handshake or something.
Well, no, that's not true. Yeah. You have to get a dick tattoo, right?
But we've all held each other's dicks at some point.
I am not part of that inner circle yet, folks. All right, guys. Well, that was a good one.
Oh, so Betty is not a part of the SVU anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And off to the third then I go.
I was going to say that one of the projects that was holding up the Pauper tournament is the fact that myself and Josh are working on another podcast.
You can't release that shit. It's top secret.
No, it's not that secret. It's out there.
Talk about that. Oh, well,
there won't be any more details than that. I don't know exactly when it's going to start up. We got to get our schedules to mix up
And but I've already got a couple of guests in mind, and it will be
sweet.
It will be a podcast dedicated to the SVU. So
how awesome is that? I gotta jump on that shouted again. That's insane.
I wanted to say like, okay, well, we will destroy you because we don't want you to fight. At one point, I was like, then we will destroy you.
Oh, man,
it's dedicated to the SVU, and I was just I feel like a dick.
yeah. No, it's all part of the big SVU family, right? We're all doing our thing.
Goddamn right.
Some of these guys, you know, you got Ginger Italian, got a writing gig. I mean, that's awesome. I want the SVU to get out there and to take possession of the magic community in large. And you know,
I want you guys
all
to take it over because I want you guys to take like what Matt
because
and
it
I
saves us here. Work. No.
There is the fact that it saves us work, but like the shit that like Maddie Farrah and I have done, like just showing up once a week. Like, that's all it takes. Like, we just show up.
I love how Kemi says that, but he doesn't have to edit the fucking monstrosity and make all this. She's like, that was a pretty easy gig. I don't know what he's always playing.
Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just showed up and got drunk and talked for a little while.
This is just me recording my shit.
With your band?
We showed up, and apparently in the middle of all this, like, Maddie had to edit some shit. I'm pretty sure it only took him 8 minutes, so we're good.
So basically, we've got Maddie, who does all the tech work, Kevy the rock star, and I'm just the mascot.
There you go. That's it, man.
And then we have this big crane dick motherfucker that holds it all together.
Yeah, there you go. And the SVU is actually the heart and soul of the whole thing. So.
Oh, you betcha, man.
It doesn't work without you guys.
I can't tell you how awesome it's been. That's what I was getting at. It's like, you guys, like, the SVU is what has blown me away. You guys have taken this fucking shoddy podcast that we do, and you guys have turned it into, like, a rally point for just
making another shitty podcast about fucking yourselves.
Well, I mean, I gotta say, I underestimated originally how awesome, like, all these people that listen to the cast are. I mean, I totally underestimated it.
Yeah, it's the one thing I used to say is
dudes hooking up other dudes with fucking like, you know, business contacts, and then on the other side of it you have like this guy hooking up this proxy and fucking artwork exchange back and forth, and then you have like guys all over the country or guys all over the continent or then guys all over the world that are fucking avid listeners to this podcast, which is just us being drunk ass.
Even today, Marsala puts a post out for GP Oakland saying, man, I really wish I could go. And some dudes from the, you know, the JP guy or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
he's just like, dude, you can stay with me. And I'm just like, that's awesome. That's exactly why.
He's one of our homies from GP Vegas.
Yeah, JR, man. Time Illinois, yeah. He's sick, JR.
He's still, hey, man, you can stay in my fucking spot. And that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and that literally was the difference of him being able to go now.
Nothing compared to what you guys do fucking daily. Like, it's fucking...
Right.
It blows me away.
So enough sucking their dick off. Like, holy Christ. Like, this whole last half an hour has been dick sucking. I will say one last thing, and that is, it is a reflection of the fans are, if you guys are a reflection of us, you really make us way too fucking good. Because we're not worthy of, in all honesty, like, fans this cool. Like, I don't think there's any other fucking podcast that has fans like that. And I will stop sucking your cock right now.
Speaking of
enough of that. Oh, fuck.
I have something to say.
Yes.
Ooh, fuck off, fellow.
The first time we tried to say that, but I'll implore. I'll cut that out.
No, that one's better because I just stuffed four of my fingers in my palm.
As long as it was fingers. As long as it was fingers. All right, guys, that was a good one, man.
If I could reach my dick, I wouldn't be clogged.
That is true. I bet every young boy contemplates that. Like, man,
young
if I could
boy,
just
man,
bend.
I'm 33, and if I could reach my dick, I wouldn't be married. I wouldn't have a fucking podcast. I wouldn't be in a band. Like,
you'd have no teeth.
Dick, I would work a job to pay enough to pay my fucking electricity bill and my rent, and then I would come home every day and be like, oh, all right, you little bitch.
Kevy, just a bit, you'd be working porn.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd leave that. Honestly, I don't know if I'd be working for it. I don't know if I'd go on the internet.
Like, if I
there would be no point.
Yeah, I'd have no reason to. If I got home from work and I'm just all right, I'm gonna have a cheeseburger, I'm gonna suck my own dick, and then I'd go to sleep, and I'd wake up the next morning and be like, fuck, I go to work. Yeah. And then I'd go to work, and then I'd get home and be like, man, a cheeseburger and a blowjob sounds awesome. I can suck my own dick. And then
sadly, Kevin, you do make it sound attractive when you say, like, hey, I could just have dinner and a blowjob. Like, that's pretty sick.
Yes.
You fail to mention the fine print of, like, well, it's your own fucking mouth that's going to give you that blowjob. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, like, we're all men here. Like,
well,
know,
we
like,
have a fair.
Not pull the misogyny card, but, like, hey, fuck it. Like, you know, if you were a female and could reach your own vagina, would you not just write off everybody else in the world? You keep doing what you're doing. You'd be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go home and masturbate.
Newsflash.
If I masturbate, I mean suck my own junk. Then when your friends are looking at you all weird, like, oh, well, you don't have a social life, I don't need to. Like, I have cheeseburgers at my house, and I can reach my own junk.
I love how sucking your own dick isn't quite enough. You gotta have a cheeseburger.
Oh, then you gotta make
it. Seriously, like, we're all men here. Have you ever finished masturbating and not been hungry?
No.
Like, you finish and you're just all.
I could use a cheeseburger.
I'm sorry, masturbating. Like, have you ever finished having sex? It's like, have you ever finished and then not been like, man, a sandwich? Or a fucking cheeseburger would be fucking awesome right now. Because if you're not, then I think you're a robot.
So this is why you and your old lady are off doing it in parking lots, because then you're closer to the McDonald's. Is that it?
Exactly. That's what I'm telling you.
You get the choice wheelchair spot, too.
Best part is like,
oh, man. Well, that was the cheeseburger dick sucking rant. I got to put that in. You can't not cut that one. That was full on Kevy, man.
Yeah, honey, you got to remember, it's not the cheeseburger that's going to make you fat.
I highly doubt any of it would. Yeah, there you go. All right, robot. Yeah. That was good having you on, bro. Thanks for
Yeah, no. Like I said, I'm always willing to fill in if you guys need a...
Robot, I am sorry for interrupting you like every...
You just interrupted on him saying...
Kevy, I think you're interrupting everybody tonight. That's okay.
If I had Kevy on his own separate audio channel, all I would do was just bump him 3 seconds ahead of everyone else, and he'd sync up perfectly with everyone. I don't think you live.
Or you could just take that audio track and really
just mute it.
Heavy meta.
Yeah,
just me talking to myself the whole goddamn time.
Actually, I wonder. That would be hilarious. Just cut out all the blanks of everyone else talking. Just see if it would make cohesive sense.
I think so. I think if you cut out the blanks and you like just you left a split second in between topics, you could fill up at least an hour of me being like, no, so fucking standard so this and that and blah blah blah, and then it's like it stops for a second and it's all. Well, I can suck my own dick.
You know what I wonder? If I could find 2 separate shows and then cut it together so you argue with yourself for a whole 45 minutes.
Oh, I'm sure you can manage that.
If I ever have time one day, I will see if I can make that.
Especially because I'm a drunk, and I guarantee you there's been times where I have just like completely contradicted myself. Like, you could actually set up a fucking conversation.
If I could,
it'd be like an hour and a half worth of me arguing for and against Geist of Shamecraft.
The same argument.
Don't forget the Snapcaster.
Yeah, the red caster.
Fuck that card! I love that card!
Oh, man, I don't know.
God damn it, I hate blue! Or, wait a minute, I'm actually beginning to sort of play Esper. What the fuck?
I just got 4 Jaces in the mail, what the fuck?
Well, does it not give me a little bit of credit? Like, I am mountains through and through, but, like, I won a game playing Esper, but it was Booze Cube. So is that not a, like a good introduction for me?
Well, honestly, Kevy, your whole story through Magic is really it's kind of almost stereotypical because everybody tends to start on a certain track and often with red and then works their way through into control and then works their way back again. It's just the natural progression.
From my point of view, I'm skipping the control thing. I dabbled in it for a draft and then that's not true. God damn it. Since that fucking game, I am so interested in control now. I don't want to admit it to anybody. But
I have an entire vintage deck of control. Go figure.
The only way you're ever going to win against control is if you actually learn how they play against you. That's the only true way to know it. You have to know your enemy, right?
No, that's not true at all. The way you win against control is fucking win before they get a chance to play anything.
Kemi's argument of ignorance is the best. It's like, fuck that, I'll just burn you before I need to know how to stop you.
Like,
you're on fire. Deal with that, fucker.
If you've got a control deck, but turn five, you're dead. What do you do?
You know what Kevy's response is?
I skipped past the learning control step.
Kevy, I would love to see Kevy to match with the guys like, okay, so I'm about to stall the board out, and then I'm going to take over, and then I'm going to mill you out of cards. And his response is, what are you going to do turn three when you're actually on fire? Like, in real life. Because I'd like to see you get there.
we wouldn't have to get to that part, though, because, like, normally that guy's just like, oh, what are you going to do? Oh, wait, I already lost the game.
Well, you can certainly... Oh, that Kevin bolt, never bolt, played bolt, shit. Bolt, spot bolt, guy.
Bolt. Huh?
Bolt.
He's like, what? Wait a minute. What?
I was thinking bolts there for a second.
Oh, man. All right, guys. This is a good one. Thanks, Mike. You fucking kicked
it. Yeah, no worries. Hey, don't forget to, on Twitter or something, just DM me your address and I'll send you some shit.